It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon, sunny, 49 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Denver Water Board. One phase of the Glendale apartment fire's aftermath has nothing to do with the demolition of the building or relocation of tenants. There's also the matter of reopening Kentucky Street to vehicular traffic, something that could happen as soon as this afternoon. Glendale Public Works Director Bob Taylor said fighting the fire and tearing down the Spanish Gate apartments has left an asbestos residue on the street.
The contractor who's in charge of the environmental cleanup has to go through there and essentially vacuum the site. The state health department has issued an opinion of what needs to be done, and they're out there doing it.
Taylor says the affected area comprises only a few hundred feet, but when the cleanup is done, motorists can gain access again to Cherry Creek Drive South from Kentucky. A 13-year-old boy has been arrested in connection with a massive amount of vandalism at a Denver office building. As Denver police officers were checking the building at 9725 East Hampton, they saw someone running from the building and arrested the youth. Denver Police Detective Teresa Garcia says so far, the boy is the only suspect in the vandalism incident.
At this time, based on what he has told the detectives, yes, that he acted alone. But of course, you know, that may change.
The boy is being held at the Gilliam Youth Center for investigation of burglary. Initial estimates are that about $250,000 of damage was done to the building over the weekend. The food will be expensive and the audience friendly when Vice President Dick Cheney appears in Denver tonight. He's scheduled to make a presidential campaign and fundraising stop at the downtown Hyatt tonight at 6:30. However, some folks not on the $1,000 a plate guest list may be lifting protest signs instead of thumbs up. They're members of Colorado's gay community who take exception to the VP's support of a constitutional amendment that bans gay marriages nationwide. Cheney's daughter, Mary, is a lesbian. The U.S. Supreme Court will allow the Bush administration to keep secret the names of terrorist detainees. The ruling covers hundreds of people who have been questioned, detained, or arrested since September 11, 2001. Civil libertarians say the government is violating the First Amendment right to free speech and the Freedom of Information Act. The Iowa presidential caucuses are 1 week away, and many polls show former Vermont Governor Howard Dean holding a slim lead over Missouri Congressman Dick Ephardt. One of Dean's rivals, North Carolina Senator John Edwards, is hoping to impress voters with a more positive message. Among Democrats, Edwards says he has the best chance to defeat President Bush.
And I can challenge George Bush everywhere in America. You know, when they ask the question, who's the guy we've been looking for who can beat George Bush, I'm the person who can beat George Bush. I can challenge him in the North, in the West, in the South, where I'm from.
Edwards, a former trial lawyer, told NBC's Today Show that he's been fighting and winning fights for average folks over much of his adult life. Edwards claims to be gaining ground dramatically in Iowa. President Bush wanted to topple Saddam Hussein even before September 11th. That's the word from former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, who was forced from office last year. Speaking on CBS's 60 Minutes last night, O'Neill says ousting Saddam Hussein was discussed at the first National Security Council meeting right after President Bush took office.
From the very beginning, there was a conviction that Saddam Hussein was a bad person and that he needed to go.
O'Neill provided 19,000 pages of documents and extensive interviews to reporter Ron Suskind. The former Wall Street Journal reporter has written a book, The Price of Loyalty, about the early years of the Bush administration. China is looking into the third suspected case of SARS they've found this year. Reports indicate the 35-year-old has no obvious connection with previous SARS patients or the wild animals believed to carry the potentially lethal disease. The World Health Organization wants Chinese authorities to look into a possible fourth SARS case under observation near Hong Kong. On Wall Street at this hour, stocks are all higher. The Dow is up over 9 points. The Nasdaq up over 13. The S&P 500 up just over a point. In sports, no games for Colorado's pro teams today. The Avs won on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, they beat the Stars 4-2 in Dallas. Yesterday, they beat the Chicago Blackhawks 5-4. Avs are back in action at home tomorrow night against the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. The Nuggets didn't do as well, losing yesterday 117-106 to the Sacramento Kings. Nuggets will head to Phoenix tomorrow night to take on the Suns. In college basketball tonight, the CSU Rams host the Air Force Falcons. Please do your part to help conserve our precious water supply. Visit denverwater.org to learn how. Collectively, we can make a difference. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
The following conversation is real. It took place on October 20th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is Robert. I'm out.
I've got a question for you. Is it possible to buy phone minutes on OnStar but not be tied into a package?
Actually, you have to have an active OnStar subscription to be able to use the phone. All you do is just add a bundle of minutes and then use them.
That's kind of convenient. How does one add minutes?
You can add minutes by using a credit card.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free, voice-activated phone that's built into OnStar-equipped vehicles.
On a long trip from Canada to Central Florida, and I've just used my cell phone and it's been breaking up. And how does somebody then get a hold of me?
Actually, I can give you the phone number of the vehicle.
Many Chevrolet cars and trucks are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. OnStar Personal Calling is available in most markets. To learn more, visit your Chevy dealer or Chevy.com.
I think this is a great system. I thank you very much for your time.
It was my pleasure. You have a safe trip.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by RE/MAX and cleaning up two accidents, northbound I-25 at Highway 7. Also, 8th and Spear, both should be out of the way. We are going to see slowing all day today in north and southbound I-25 right at Colorado. Speed limit through there is 45, so watch for delays. When you're looking to buy or sell a home, look for the name that brings results, RE/MAX. There's a RE/MAX real estate office near you, so call them today. RE/MAX, outstanding agents, outstanding results. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. 59 for a high today. Lots of sunshine out there. Later on tonight, clear down to 25. The above average temperatures continue. 58 for tomorrow. Sunshine comes back for more. And Wednesday, just a few clouds and 52. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 53 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock today, and we're going to be joined later in the broadcast by an old friend of mine, Dr. Dean Adell. You've seen him on radio. You've seen him on TV. I used to work with him in San Francisco, and we are friends of friends, and so he'll be live with us in studio. He has a brand new book out called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness. We're also going to have the biographer in a couple of days, I think on Wednesday, of Laura Bush. She's a Washington Post reporter, Ann Gerhart. She's going to be joining us. I read you that incredible excerpt about the Bush twins. So Ann Gerhart will be joining us on Wednesday. Today we have a lot to talk about. Did anybody see the 60 Minutes piece last night? Paul O'Neill, the former Treasury Secretary. I did something that I don't always do, although I think 60 Minutes is usually a wonderful show and much worth watching. I made it a special point to get home in time last night to be able to watch it, and what came out was just astonishing to me. Now, whether it's going to become anything like the firestorm that it ought to become, that's another story entirely. But here's Confessions of a White House Insider. Paul O'Neill is a former Treasury Secretary, and you've been seeing quotes about these excerpts from a brand new book. He's not going to make any money from it. The guy who's writing the book is named Ron Suskind, who is a Pulitzer Prize winning reporter for the Wall Street Journal, formerly with the Wall Street Journal. It's a book about, and it's not only in the book are Paul O'Neill's recollections, but they're supported by about 19,000 documents, according to 60 Minutes. The information that has come out is astonishing, because what Paul O'Neill is alleging, and as the Treasury Secretary, he also said on the National Security Council meetings, he says that even before 9/11, within days of President Bush's inauguration in January of 2001, not 8 months later after the 9/11 attacks, the Bush administration began making plans for an invasion of Iraq, including the use of American troops. And basically, George Bush told his cabinet, told people working for him, figure out a way to make this happen. Got to make this happen. So it makes sense that when 9/11 occurred and NORAD didn't scramble any jets, nobody did anything really as it was underway or even right afterward, except to spirit the bin Laden family back out of this country. You have got a situation where they have decided to go to war, and now they're using 9/11 as the reason for doing it. And then they concoct weapons of mass destruction, none of which have happened. Let me start at the beginning. This is from the interview that Paul O'Neill gave with Time magazine. He was brought into the administration by his close friend Dick Cheney. Paul O'Neill had worked for various presidents, Reagan, I believe, and President Nixon, possibly President Ford. He was also the chairman of Alcoa. And he said that even in these politicized times, if you saw it, it was a blockbuster interview. Even in these politicized times, he said, there is still a market for truth. The book is blunt, and in person, apparently, Paul O'Neill can be even more so. Discussing the case for the Iraq War with an interview with Time, O'Neill, who sat on the National Security Council, said that the focus was on Saddam from the early days of the administration. He offers the most skeptical view of the case for war ever put forward by a top administration official. And by the way, in an administration that puts a premium on loyalty, this is the first high-ranking person who has really broken ranks. In the 23 months that I was there, said Paul O'Neill, former Treasury Secretary under George Bush, a man who sat in on the National Security Council meetings, he said, in the 23 months I was there, I never saw anything that I would characterize as evidence of weapons of mass destruction. He said there were allegations and assertions by people, but I've been around a hell of a long time, and I know the difference between evidence and assertions and illusions or allusions and conclusions that one could draw from a set of assumptions. To me, there's a difference between real evidence and everything else, and I never saw anything in the intelligence that I would characterize as real evidence. A top administration official says of the WMD intelligence, quote, that information was on a need-to-know basis. He wouldn't have been in a position to see it. From his first meeting with the president, O'Neill found Bush unengaged, just exactly the way Molly Ivins has described him, incurious and unengaged. He doesn't care. And when he started to get off message at one point, saying after the first rounds of tax cuts, and he was having a press conference, and everyone expected him to vigorously defend the second round of tax cuts, he began to have doubts. President Bush began to have doubts. And he said, haven't we done enough for the rich people? What about for the working people in the middle class? And O'Neill says that Karl Rove stepped in immediately to say, stick to our principles, stick to our principles, stick to our principles, like a mantra. Did you ever see the movie The Manchurian Candidate? Like Bush is programmed. It was so scary when I heard that revelation on 60 Minutes last night. Stick to the principle. And then he got back on message again. So here's Paul O'Neill saying, to me, he said, I had never saw anything in the intelligence that I would characterize as real evidence for weapons of mass destruction. From his first meeting with the president, O'Neill found Bush unengaged and inscrutable, an inside account far different from the shiny White House brochure version of an unfailing leader questioning aides with rapid-fire intensity. The two met one-on-one almost every week, but O'Neill says he had trouble divining his boss's goals and ideas. Bush was a blank slate, rarely asking questions or issuing orders, unlike Nixon and Ford, for whom O'Neill also worked. I wondered from the first if the president didn't know the questions to ask, O'Neill says in the book, or if he did know and just did not know the answers, or did his strategy somehow involve never showing what he thought? But you can ask questions, gather information, and not necessarily show your hand. It was strange. In larger meetings, Bush was similarly walled off, and he's already admitted, of course, that he doesn't read newspapers. Describing top-level meetings, O'Neill tells Susskind, who is the author of this book, that during the course of his 2 years, the president was, quote, like a blind man in a room full of deaf people. In Susskind's book, O'Neill's assessment of Bush's executive style is a harsh one. It is portrayed as a failure of leadership. Aides were left to play blind man's buff, trying to divine Bush's views on issues like tax policy, global warming, and North Korea. Sometimes, O'Neill says, they had to float an idea in the press just to scare a reaction out of him. This led to public humiliation when the president contradicted his top officials, as he did Secretary of State Colin Powell on North Korea and Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Christine Todd Whitman on global warming. O'Neill came to believe that this gang of three beleaguered souls, only Powell remains, who share a more non-ideological approach, were used for window dressing. We may have been there in large part as covers, O'Neill says. When the corporate scandals rocked Wall Street. O'Neill and Alan Greenspan devised a plan to make CEOs accountable. Bush went with a more modest plan because, quote, the corporate crowd, as O'Neill calls it in the book, complained loudly, and Bush could not buck that constituency. The biggest difference between then and now, O'Neill says, about his previous tours in Washington, is that our group was mostly about evidence and analysis, and Karl Rove and Dick Cheney and Karen Hughes and the gang seem to be mostly about politics. It is a huge distinction. And when O'Neill went to Dick Cheney, who had after all brought him into the government, and said, you should not do a second round of tax cuts, Cheney looked at him straight in the eye, and he said, because the deficits were too massive, Cheney looked him straight in the eye and he said, Reagan proved that deficits don't matter. We won the midterms. The spoils are ours for the taking. A White House that seems to pick an outcome it wants and then marshal the facts to meet it seems very much like one that might decide to remove Saddam Hussein and then tickle the facts to meet its objective. That's the inescapable conclusion one draws from O'Neill's descriptions of how Saddam was viewed from day one. Though O'Neill is careful to compliment the CIA for always citing the caveats in its findings, he describes a White House poised to overinterpret intelligence. From the start, we were building the case against Hussein and looking at how we could take him out and change Iraq into a new country. And if we did that, it would solve everything. It was about finding a way to do this. That was the tone of it. The president saying, this is even before 9/11, fine, go find me a way to do this. O'Neill says that he marvels at the president's conviction in light of what he considers paltry evidence about WMDs and other things. With his level of experience, I would not be able to support his level of conviction. If all of this proves to be true, and I have no doubt that it is, does this shake your faith in the White House? Did you ever see the film Being There where you have Chauncey Gardner, a man who's really subpar in terms of intelligence, but people ascribe to him all these qualities of genius and of being a real sage, and he says nothing, and the more he says nothing, the more people think he's brilliant and a genius? Doesn't that sound like George W. Bush? And he can't do anything with Karl Rove. He doesn't have to be engaged in the details of policy, even in meeting with his Treasury Secretary. Deficits, the tax cuts, these are some of the most important things that are happening to the country right now and could throw us on the path of becoming a banana republic, and he is incurious, he doesn't ask, he doesn't know, he doesn't make the decisions. Karl Rove makes the decisions, and they have all been politicized. 303-382-1150, there's even a blockbuster a report by the American War College, and I will get to that. But you may want to comment, if you have been a strong Bush supporter, does this shake your faith? I would guess that it does not. Will this story get the legs that it deserves? The book is scheduled for publication. The publication date is on Thursday. I thought the interview on 60 Minutes was a blockbuster. What did you think? Did you see it? Kevin, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Yeah, like you, I made a point to get home to watch that interview, and I sat there and marveled at it. I mean, you could see the elation of the interviewer getting to ask those questions and getting the answers that he was giving, and you could see his attitude was so funny
attitude? Paul O'Neill's?
Yeah, he said, don't you think that the Bush administration is going to come after you for this? Don't you think you're making some enemies here? And he said, I don't understand why.
I couldn't believe that.
That was hilarious. That was just all attitude on his part, and I commend him for that. But the thing that troubles me is I said, you know, this is fantastic. I said to my wife, I said, I wonder what it was like, because, you know, I was a little young for the whole Watergate thing, but I said, I wonder what it was like to be there watching the news as the Watergate scandal and as Nixon's house of cards was starting to fall. And I said, I wonder if it was anything like this. And then I turned on the news this morning and I listened to the typical conservative blabbermouth and to find out what kind of reaction they were having.
And what are they saying?
These people are unswayed. I mean, in the face
they're
of
saying
the
that truth, he got fired, that we're not doing book reviews,
yeah,
that his opinions were laughable, and that's why he got fired. But he's only one source. There
yeah.
are 19,000 documents for this book, and Paul O'Neill is only one source in the book.
That's right. And the 19,000 documents, that sounds almost like a smoking gun. I mean, and I think that in the face of this truth, something's got to give, and I think that we should all...
I don't know if anything will give. That's what troubles me. I'm not so sure anything is going to give.
Well, I think we should all buy this book. I think
we're
going to
try and have the author on.
Yeah, that would be excellent. And then the other question I had for you, you know, Dick Cheney's in town today. Do you know where and when? Because I would like to get out there and protest him, and I'd encourage everyone else to do so as
well.
I don't
know where he is, but you'll know because traffic will be tied up is how you're going to know.
Can you do us a favor and find out and maybe tell, broadcast it on your show? Let us
All right,
know
let's, we're gonna look into it. We'll see where we find out. But you know what? He's just slapped his daughter in the face. She's gay, and
yeah.
he is not going to support gay marriage. So I wonder
they'll
how she feels about that.
They'll sell out their own family for their twisted ideology. That's just how they work.
Kevin, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. What do you think about Paul Neal depicting a disengaged president? President Bush showed little interest in policy discussions in his first 2 years in the White House, leading cabinet meetings, as Paul O'Neill says, like a blind man in a room full of deaf people. O'Neill, who was forced out of his post in 2002, spoke extensively to former Wall Street Journal reporter Ron Suskind, and this is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter, Ron Suskind is, and offered up 19,000 documents, including private White House transcripts and personal notes for the new book that's going to be out officially on Wednesday or Thursday. It's called The Price of Loyalty, George W. Bush, the White House, and the Education of Paul Neal. Did you see this interview with Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes? I thought it was a blockbuster. He said that they ginned up evidence for weapons of mass destruction. Paul O'Neill said he never saw any evidence of weapons of mass destruction. But he said, even before 9/11 happened, shortly after Bush was elected, shortly after he took office, it came up that they wanted to take Saddam Hussein out. And Bush said, yeah, go and find a way to do it. Now, it's curious that on the day of 9/11, NORAD didn't scramble any jets. None of the usual precautions that were supposed to have happened when a country's under attack occurred. Did they deliberately not do anything in order to have a rationalization now of going to war, something that they had planned from day one? 303-382-1150. Now, how are they going to sell it? Well, first they had 9/11. Then they ginned up a whole bunch of weapons of mass destruction, of which none exist. More as we continue. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC, the Monday edition of Enid Live.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Bet Your Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Join the Colorado Symphony Orchestra for a fairy tale program featuring Ravel's Mother Goose and excerpts from Prokofiev's Cinderella on January 16th, 17th, and 18th at Betcher Concert Hall. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
AM 1150 KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:23 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about Paul O'Neill, the blockbuster Paul O'Neill interview on 60 Minutes. Did anybody actually see it yesterday? Only Kevin has called in about it. What did you think? 303-382-1150. It's going to be spun by this administration as the rantings of a sour rantings of a disgruntled employee. Now, he's made it a point, Paul O'Neill, to say that he's making no money out of this thing. He is not getting one penny out of it. He said that this White House is nasty and that they have a long memory. He said, but what the hell? I'm an old guy and I'm a rich guy and they can't do anything to me. Although I imagine they'll try and figure out a way. In addition to the blockbuster allegations that Paul O'Neill is making, supported by 19,000 documents that are now in the hands of Ron Suskind, the former Wall Street Journal and Pulitzer Prize winning reporter who's written this book. It comes out this week. In a scathing new report, published by the Army War College. It broadly criticizes the Bush administration's handling of the war on terrorism, accusing it of taking a detour into an unnecessary war in Iraq, exactly what I have said, and pursuing an unrealistic quest against terrorism that may lead to U.S. wars with states that pose no serious threats. And by the way, the War College is considered the most prestigious, the Army's premier academic institution. Its most prestigious academic institution. And this is a scathing new report published by this premier academic institution, the Army's best, Army War College, broadly criticizing the Bush administration's handling of the war on terrorism, accusing it of taking a detour into an unnecessary war in Iraq, and pursuing an unrealistic quest against terrorism that may lead to U.S. wars with states that pose no serious threat. The report was issued by visiting professor Jeffrey Reckert, who's on the faculty of the Air War College at Maxwell Air Force Base in Alabama. He says that as a result of these mistakes, quote, the Army is near the breaking point. This report recommends, among other things, scaling back the scope of the global war on terrorism and instead focusing on the narrower threat posed by the Al-Qaeda terrorist network, exactly what I have said. And I haven't been in the Army. I don't think you have to be a genius to figure these things out. Publication of this essay was approved by the Army War College's commandant, so the fact that the Army's premier war college signed on, or the Army's premier academic institution signed on this report, tells us that people in the military, people in the Army, are very upset about what's happening now, because the Army has been called near the breaking point. They're calling it near the breaking point. That by pursuing this global war on terrorism, we're not pursuing the narrower one on Al-Qaeda. Those are the ones who have done us the most harm. That we are stretched way too thin. 303-382-1150 and more on Colin Powell. Some more damning stuff about Colin Powell's situation. Rich calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, my goodness, Rich. We have something for you. There you go.
Oh, that's great. First of all, I love your show.
Thank you.
There's nothing like you on anywhere in the Rocky Mountain West, and I think it's great. It's about time we had this kind of a searching, probing kind of mind that really is getting down to what's happening. I did see the show last night on 60 Minutes.
Yeah? What do you think?
Well, frankly, I do not think that Bush has a clear idea of what he's doing from a day-to-day reality. Clearly, the entire gist of that was that Bush is being programmed very much like what you mentioned earlier about Karl Rove, sticking to principle. It does sound like some bizarre science.
Did you ever see The Manchurian Candidate?
I sure did.
Where the guy was programmed?
Absolutely.
By Angela Lansbury?
Well,
remember
people,
his mother?
Right.
Miss, Murder, She Wrote.
Murder, She Wrote.
What's her name on that show?
Oh, boy.
I can't remember. Anyway.
Well, anyway, the whole issue that I think that is coming out now is that there really was no question from the very beginning that one of Bush's primary goals from the very start was to get rid of Saddam Hussein, regardless of how he did it or how it was done or how many people were killed. And I think that's really coming out now.
Yeah, but here's the story. Is this story going to gain legs? Is it going to get traction? Because the White House has got a big, powerful spin machine. And I heard Wolf Blitzer on CNN as I was coming in today talking about, you always get sour grapes from people who are fired. And then somebody else pointed out, yeah, but he's only one part of this book, that there are 19,000 documents that support what he has said.
That's what I want. I can't wait to get this book, because that's what I thought was very interesting. There was so much documentation that clearly, it is not just sour grapes. It can't be just sour grapes with that much documentation. I can't imagine. However, I must admit, neither the Rocky Mountain News nor the Denver Post even carried this story today. Were you aware of that?
I looked through it, and now that you mention it, I might have seen something somewhere, but now that you mention it, I'm not sure that I did, actually.
No, it is not in the papers today. So, I mean, that just says something, doesn't it?
I guess it does say something, but that's why you've got to listen to Enid Lyon.
Hey, you better believe
that. AM 1150 KNRC, because you're not seeing anything about the rumors about the governor's marital situation either in either one of those papers.
And that's,
you better be listening here.
I agree.
All right, Rich, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150, and tell your friends. This is how word of mouth builds. A lot of people don't even know that this radio station exists. Don in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
How you doing, Enid?
I'm doing well, Don.
You know something? We had a conversation last year, and I asked you, if you knew for certain that George Bush and Dick Cheney and his cohorts had orchestrated 9/11, what would you do about it? And you never gave me an answer.
I really cannot bring myself to believe that they orchestrated 9/11. I don't believe it. I'm not going to believe it. I believe that he wanted to take out Saddam. I would hate to believe that, Don. I'm not going that far into conspiracy theory land. But I do believe that they
wanted
to...
Well, I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm not asking you to believe it. But what I'm asking you is, if you found out without any doubt that this was the truth,
it would be monstrous. If it were the truth, it would be too monstrous to contemplate. Why? What are you suggesting?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying. I'm just putting a question out there because I think the American people are so stupefied right now that they, if you know.
I think they're going to wind up not believing what Paul O'Neill said because it's too much of a disconnect. They don't want to know about
it. But if it came on TV tomorrow, George W. Bush and Dick Cheney orchestrated 9/11, people still wouldn't believe
it. Doesn't, we don't
they would just justify it.
Yeah, but why
say,
are you
well,
bringing
he
it
had
up?
To do that to attack Iraq.
Ton,
exactly
why are you bringing it up?
Well, the reason why I'm bringing it up is what more evidence do people need to say that George W. Bush may have orchestrated 9/11?
You don't have to go that far with the information. All you have to go with the information that we have so far, not that he orchestrated 9/11, but that he had in advance he wanted to take out Saddam Hussein. And so,
okay, so
maybe he didn't do as much as he could have to prevent 9/11.
Enid, what's the difference between not doing enough to prevent something happening and orchestrating it?
They're different.
One is passive, Don, and one is active.
But that we don't have to go that far. What we know from O'Neill is this, that they wanted to take out George W. Dickie Bush wanted to take out Saddam from day one, and they tried to figure out a way to do it. And 9/11 gave them the way to do it.
I agree with all of that, but, you know, Dateline did a special on this like over a year ago where they did a whole expose about the letter that Wolfowitz and Cheney and all of these people wrote to Clinton urging him to get rid of Saddam Hussein during his presidency. I mean, it's common knowledge about that, but what I'm talking about is that I believe that this administration is so nefarious that they orchestrated 9/11 to do exactly what they're doing today. Because these Al Qaeda trained operatives were CIA trained, and no one's denying that.
All right, Don, we're going to leave it there and see how people respond. Thanks for calling. The board is completely full. I think there's one line open, 303-382-1150. Kate in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Kate.
I've been listening to your show, and first of all, I just want to thank you so much for the opinions that you share with this community. I live in Denver. It was Jessica Fletcher. This was the name
of
the character.
Okay, was Angela Lansbury's character.
And the New York Times had a very good article this morning on what had occurred on 60 Minutes last evening.
Right, and
The reason I'm calling is my husband was a former lieutenant colonel in the Army. His son was a former captain. His other son served on a nuclear sub for 6 years. So we certainly we feel the importance of having national security. My concern is who are we securing at this point? I feel that what we have and what the secretary who – I congratulate him immensely for the courage that he's taken, is that are we just securing certain individuals that are important to the Bush and Bush family, or are we securing a nation? It appears to me that we are securing just certain individuals. I think that can be very, very frightening. And there seems to be a cabal that has surrounded this president who demands their opinion, their politics be heard, instead of us as a nation.
I think he's completely in a bubble, and if the reports of his biographers are accurate, among them Molly Ivins, he has been described as unengaged and incurious, that they make a lot of time for him to watch TV when he was governor of Texas and to do running and stuff like that. My guess is that Rove runs the shop. Rove and Cheney run the shop, and they pretty much program, and they manage to manipulate W. into signing on to whatever it is they have in mind. And remember John Giulio, who resigned, he was going to head up faith-based initiatives. He wound up apologizing for this remark, and I'm sorry he did. He was quoted in Esquire magazine as saying that this is an operation shop run by Mayberry Machiavellians, people whose every decision has a political component to it. In other words, they're not making decisions on what is best for the country and what is right for the country, but politically how it can line their pockets, how it can get them elected for the next 4 years and so on.
I can't disagree with anything that you said, and I think that this gentleman caller prior to the, not the last one, but the other one, when he said there's so much documentation, I think we have to really keep sight of that documentation and make sure that information gets out.
Kate, I thank you very much for the call. 303-321-1150. Jeff in Greeley, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I'm a little surprised that, you know, you didn't take John from Denver more seriously, because by the time the military death toll alone from Iraq comes in, it's going to far exceed 9/11. I mean, what, since they orchestrated that, why is it so hard for you to believe that they didn't orchestrate 9/11?
I can't believe that my government would orchestrate an attack on our own country. I just can't believe it. What looks like they did is almost nothing when 9/11 happened. Why didn't NORAD scramble planes? But I refuse right now to believe that this administration sanctioned an attack on our own citizens. What I do believe is what Paul O'Neill is suggesting, and he says they wanted to take Saddam Hussein out from the very beginning, even before 9/11 happened. They just had to find a way to do it. I don't believe that they orchestrated it. 303-382-1150. I hope I'm right about that. Ruth, calling from Northern California, Northern Colorado. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, Ruth.
2 points. Number one, we must remember that the Republican Party was willing to try to impeach a president because he lied about an affair. This Republican Party, in order to have any credibility at all, must delve into this. They cannot accept it lockstep, because to lie to the American people about war and going to war
is serious.
Will there be
enough will of the people to demand an investigation of the Republican Party or of this administration?
I don't know. But
that's
know,
the open question, and yes, I'm wondering whether there is.
I don't know, but I know myself as an American, if the Republicans don't go to the floor and demand that this be looked into and start inquiries, inquiries, as far as I'm concerned, the Republican Party has no credibility.
Well, those legislators ought to be hopping mad, because they have been so badly manipulated, and for them to stand for it, I would just be amazed if they don't get really bent out of shape. Some of the older ones, particularly the ones who have more integrity, I'm talking about Warner, I'm talking about Byrd, I'm talking about people like that, and Kennedy.
Some of them right now should start the procedure for impeachment.
Ooh, Ruth.
If you read history, treason, and that's what it is, treason is the most viable offense. There isn't anything worse.
Ruth, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Sunny, 54 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by 1-800-DRIVERS. Police have arrested a 13-year-old boy in connection with a massive vandalism incident at an office building on East Hampton. Initial estimates are that about $250,000 of damage was done to the American Oil and Gas Building over the weekend. Last night, crews started the process of taking down the east section of the Colorado Boulevard Bridge. I-25 will be closed both ways from Santa Fe to Hampton starting at 9 tonight and maybe tomorrow with that same schedule. Frontier Airlines and United Airlines both trying to get approval for nonstop flights to Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C. Frontier already has one flight to the airport, but United doesn't have any direct from Denver flights. It could take about a month for the Department of Transportation to make a decision. In sports, no games for Colorado's pro teams tonight. The Avs will be back in action at home tomorrow night against the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, while the Nuggets will will be in Phoenix tomorrow to play the Suns. In college basketball tonight, the Air Force Falcons visit the CSU Rams. Whether you're a driver in need of a driving job or a company in need of drivers, call 1-800-DRIVERS or log on the web at 1-800-DRIVERS.com. The number one source for drivers is 1-800-DRIVERS. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:39.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapahoe Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy. Sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Napoleon.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Napoleon.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
KNRC News Time is 12:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Waterway Gas and Wash. One real problem, and that's going to be the one at I-25 in Colorado. Speed limit's 45 through there, so watch for delays. Everywhere else looking pretty good at this hour. A Waterway Car Wash is your best weapon for fighting winter salt, slush, and grime. Make the Waterway Winter Protection Package your first line of defense. Visit today. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. 59 for a high today. Lots of sunshine out there. Later on tonight, clear down to 25. The above average temperatures continue. 58 for tomorrow. Sunshine comes back for more. And Wednesday, just a few clouds and 52. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 54 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live. It's the new year. How about a new you?
Aspen Grove, the fabulous open-air shopping center located at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton, is sponsoring the new year, new you makeover for one lucky man or woman or a couple. Winners will receive new hairstyles from Avalon Day Spa, makeup by the professionals at Origins, and a dinner for two on Valentine's Day for your reveal.
And that's not all. Each winner will receive a $1,000 shopping spree at Aspen Grove.
To enter, write 50 words or less on why you deserve this makeover. Include your photo. Drop this off at the Aspen Grove Management Office or the J. Crew store.
Aspen Grove at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton is open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6. Call them at 303-794-0640. 303-794-0640. Experience shopping in a whole new light. Sunshine.
No purchase necessary. Employees and family members of KNRC and Aspen Grove Management are ineligible. Qualifiers will be chosen at random. Entries must be received by February 6th at the Aspen Grove Management Office or Aspen Grove J. Crew store. For complete rules, stop by the Aspen Grove Management Office.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street is finding its way back up in the session's later hours. The S&P 500 is up 3. The NASDAQ is gaining 14. And the Dow, which had bounced up and down from opening March much of the day, is now up 5 points. Following Walmart's announcement today that its sales for January are on track, Prudential has raised its price target for Walmart stock. Though the firm has not upgraded shares, which right now are down a nickel. Walmart announcing sales at locations open at least a year rose to within range of its monthly projection of 3-5% growth last week. After a tough 2003, retail sales overall are expected to push forward powerfully this year. That's according to the National Retail Federation, now predicting sales in 2004 will rise 5%, spurred by even more consumer spending and business investment. Stock and big retailers mixed. Target and Macy's Owner Federated are higher. Sears and JCPenney are lower. Again, the Dow is up 4 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
12:44 on the Monday edition of Eat It Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We are talking about that blockbuster interview with Paul O'Neill on 60 Minutes last night, where he has said the following, that we have an unengaged president, that he had countless meetings with President Bush, who, and here he was, the former Treasury Secretary, sat in on the National Security Council meetings, and he said the president never asked him any questions, really never offered any opinions. A disengaged president who didn't seem to know enough to really know what kind of questions to ask O'Neill. Furthermore, he said he never saw any indication, and he sat in on National Security Council meetings, that there were ever weapons of mass destruction. He believed that the intelligence information was tickled in order to sell that war to Americans. Also, he says that from the very beginning, as soon as the inauguration occurred, he said, they wanted to take out Saddam Hussein even before 9/11. 303-382-1150. They just needed to find a way to do it. So it would be, it's very interesting to me to see that NORAD never scrambled any planes. 303-382-1150 on 9/11. That when Bush ventured in the face of O'Neill's mounting criticism of more tax cuts and a mounting deficit, that Bush would say finally, you know, he'd say, we gave tax cuts to the richest. What about working people? What about the middle class? And that's when Karl Rove stepped in and said, remember, stick to our principles, stick to our principles, stick to our principles, as though Bush were being programmed. And, you know, all of that rings true to me. From the biographies I've seen of Bush, where he didn't do very much when he was the governor of Texas, I believe that Karl Rove and Dick Cheney are making the decisions. And according to the 60-minute interview last night, Donald Rumsfeld called Paul O'Neill on the phone to say to him, don't write this book, don't go public with this, don't be associated with it. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. And Paul O'Neill says, you know, this White House has got a long memory and they are nasty, he said, but what the hell? I'm old and I'm a rich guy. What can they do to me? In addition, you have got the War College publishing a study that was scathing in its criticism of the Bush administration's handling of the war on terrorism, accusing it of taking a detour into an unnecessary war in Iraq, pursuing an unrealistic quest against terrorism that may lead the U.S. to wars with states that pose no serious threat, and saying that the Army is near the breaking point. And then, in the English newspapers, Sidney Blumenthal, who you remember from the Clinton White House, is writing about Colin Powell. And here's the way he begins. He says, shortly before the holidays, just before he underwent surgery for prostate cancer, U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell gave a forlorn and illuminating interview to the Washington Post, published only in one brief excerpt. In it, he explained that there was no matter of principle, now listen to this, that there was no matter of principle over which he would resign, and depicted tenure as a long mission of retreat and loss. Let me give that to you again. That there was no matter of principle that he would resign over as Secretary of State. And he depicted his tenure as Secretary of State as a long mission of retreat and loss. So essentially, he has been irrelevant. Powell's elegiac tone is in striking contrast to the reigning triumphalism of official Washington. Bush's popularity has spiked to one of its high points with Saddam Hussein's capture. His campaign operation is ginning up his national security doctrine of, quote, preemptive self-defense, to pose against the supposedly soft Democrats, and meanwhile Powell presents himself as bereft, tragic, and noble. Isn't that amazing that Powell has Powell's valedictory note, so it sounds like he's not going to be appointed or continue on in the next administration, if there is one. His valedictory note suggests that the Bush administration's most prestigious and popular figure is almost certainly preparing his retirement. For many in Congress and traditional allies, including Tony Blair, Powell has been seen as the voice of reason, the indispensable partner. His absence as a countervailing force in a second Bush term is hardly imaginable, which will only ensure that his lame duck status will have consequences in a campaign centered on national security and the conduct of foreign policy. It looks like Powell's presence has been largely a matter of PR, and that security advisor Condoleezza Rice told Powell, Colin Powell, in June of last year, save your breath, The president has already decided what he's going to do on this. Recently, Powell has made grand gestures and statements without anyone else in the administration lending him even face-saving rhetorical support. One of Powell's many nemeses in the State Department is the right-wing Undersecretary of State John Bolton, despised, incidentally, in the upper reaches of the British government. Powell may favor a policy on North Korea, but at this time, the U.S. has none at all. There has been nothing with which Powell has disagreed that he has felt has been worth fighting to the end. So although he has made himself irrelevant in the Bush administration and he has disagreed completely with a lot of things that they have done, he has been unwilling to fight over any of it, which I guess tells us more about Colin Powell than we really want to know. He has given his best advice. This is according to Sidney Blumenthal, and this is being published in The Guardian, the English newspaper. He has given his best advice, husbanded his inherent power, and accepted policies which he has privately told senators have been calamitous on the diplomatic run-up to the Iraq War and the reconstruction, the Middle East peace process in North Korea. His presence has lent the appearance there could have been another course when on the important issues that has been that has proved an illusion. There has not been another course, only the one way that Bush and his advisors wanted to go. And really, everybody wondered whether Nancy Reagan was really running the government. In this case, I think it's not being run by George W. Dickey Bush. I think he's just the figurehead. The people running it are Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, maybe even Don Rumsfeld. In Errol Morris's documentary, Sidney Blumenthal continues on Robert McNamara, who was the Secretary of, I forget now, State or Defense during the Vietnam years. He was former Secretary of Defense in the Vietnam War era. He justified his refusal, Robert McNamara did, to take a stand against a disastrous policy he believed he could never succeed as selfless service to President Johnson. Let me give you that again. He justifies his refusal to take a stand against a disastrous policy he believed could never succeed, calling it selfless service to President Johnson. So even though he knew the policy was disastrous and that it could never succeed, he refused to take a stand against it, which is a little bit like Colin Powell. Powell has now offered his case for failing to resign in the same terms, but making no argument for principle. His pathos begs the question of whether he ever believed in anything greater than his sterling career, how complicit he has been in his own plight, and whether he has been the good soldier as enabler. Now the fate of the diminished Powell will inevitably be raised as a contentious issue in the harsh arena of campaign politics. In the final frame, Powell is about to lose all control. So here is Sidney Blumenthal's read on Colin Powell, that he gave an interview that very little of which was published in the Washington Post, saying that there was no matter of principle that he ever found important enough to actually resign over. But he's been made redundant and irrelevant in this administration, and he presents himself in this interview as bereft, tragic, and noble at the same time. And yet there was no principle important enough for him to ever resign over. So let me put these three issues in perspective. You have Colin Powell that I've just shared with you here. You have a study published by the most prestigious academic institution that the Army has, its premier academic institution, criticizing the war on terror scope, saying that the Army is near the breaking point. And you have the former chairman of the board of Alcoa, who has served Presidents Ford and Nixon, and I believe also Reagan, who was the Treasury Secretary and sat in all the National Security Council meetings, saying that this administration wanted to take out Saddam even before 9/11. They just had to find a way to do it, that this president is unengaged. He simply doesn't seem to have a grasp of the information. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Some stations brag about serving 35 states. We're proud to serve Denver. Local radio, AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Larry King, and I'm here with some news your heart's going to love. We all know a few things that taste good aren't exactly good for your heart, but Welch's 100% grape juice, made from Welch's own Concord grapes, not only tastes great, but it's fat-free, cholesterol-free, and certified by the American Heart Association. What's more, Welch's purple grape juice is loaded with natural antioxidant power, and growing evidence suggests that diets rich in antioxidants may reduce the risk of heart disease. So drink up. Your heart and your taste buds will thank you.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Have you been considering adoption? There are numerous children in Adams County who need adoptive families. Make a child's dream come true in the new year and foster or adopt a child from Adams County. You do not need to live in Adams County to participate. Call them now at 303-412-5151. That's 303-412-5151. Make your New Year's resolution to fulfill a child's dream and be an adoptive parent for Adams County.
Now, through January 17th, get up to a $50 cash card with the purchase of four selected Goodyear tires. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the retailer nearest you.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. AM 1150 KNRC proudly sponsors Mutts and Models, a celebrity fashion show and dance on Friday, January 16th at 7 p.m. at the Gothic Theater. This fashion extravaganza benefits Harrison Memorial Animal Hospital, Colorado's only nonprofit vet hospital, providing services at reduced prices for pets whose owners are low income. That's Mutts and Models Friday, January 16th at the Gothic Theater. Purchase tickets online at blacktie-colorado.com or call 303-722-2100.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1255 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Did anybody see the interview with O'Neill on 60 Minutes last night that Leslie Stahl conducted? It was worth staying home to watch. Linda in Englewood, hi, you're live with Enid.
Oh, hi, Enid. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've been able to talk to you for a while since you changed the format, or since the station changed the format. So I'm always delighted if I'm in my car and maybe can check in with you. I did watch the interview last night, and I certainly wasn't shocked, and I'm not shocked about Colin Powell. What I am shocked about, and I continue to remain shocked about, is when the American public is going to wake up. It seems like that no matter what George Bush does, that there is a certain segment of the population, which is the white male, the married white woman, and a degree of very evangelistic conservatives that will support him no matter if he puts his country in great peril, which I believe that he has with his preemptive strike.
Well, I think you have brought up a very interesting issue, because I have no doubt that what Paul O'Neill says is true. I believe that this is an unengaged presidency. I'm shocked to know that they talked about 5 minutes after Bush was elected or selected that they talked about taking Saddam Hussein out and just trying to find a way to do it. I'm surprised it came that early in the presidency. But the thing that you bring up is absolutely critical here. I think that people can pound this thing to death, and I wonder if it's going to make any difference at all to the public, to the citizenry of this country, because I think they've made up their mind about W, and I think it doesn't matter what you say.
And I believe that's true too. And I know the same was true with the people who supported Clinton. But Clinton lied about his sex life, and this man is lying about reasons to go to war. And I believe that that is a far greater offense to me, my country, my children, my grandchildren. The direction of this country, as far as I'm concerned, is going exactly the opposite direction that sanity would tell you would.
This is an upside down universe, and what's going to happen is the White House is going to try to discredit Paul O'Neill big time, even though he's only part. He only forms part of the rationale for the book. In other words, there are about 19,000 documents and many, many
exactly.
other interviews that support what Paul O'Neill says and bring up other things as well. He's only part of the picture in that book. But they're
exactly.
going to try to discredit him. Probably they'll try to discredit the book and the reporter. And listening to Wolf Blitzer on CNN dismiss everything that was said by saying, you know, anybody who's fired, they're always disgruntled. They're always sour grapes. And he goes on to talk about David Stockman. Well, David Stockman was right. When he was fired from the Reagan administration or I can't remember how, under what circumstances he left, he talked about voodoo economics, and he was absolutely right about that.
That's correct. And I think the other thing that's so frightening to me is that there's just a common sense element. I mean, just strictly not, you don't have to be a political scientist, I mean, you know, or a nuclear physicist to look at just the common sense of what is happening. We get attacked, we do not go after the country that attacked us at all. Saudi Arabia.
That's right. We're going after some cardboard tinhorn dictator who was not a threat to us at that time. Linda, we're going to have to leave it here. We're out of time in this hour. Thank you for the call. Dick Cheney is going to be at a GOP fundraiser at the Hyatt Regency tonight at 6 o'clock downtown, 6 p.m. So those of you who wanted to know where the other Dick was going to be, that Dick is in Denver, and traffic is probably going to be a mess. Two more hours of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon, sunny, 54 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Denver Water Board. Denver police have arrested a 13-year-old boy in connection with a vandalism incident at an office building on East Hampton. Damage in the weekend incident is estimated to be at least $250,000. Police arrested the boy when they saw him running from the building.
He is currently being held for investigation of burglary at the Gilliam Youth Center. Detectives will also attempt to interview the juvenile in regards to last weekend's burglary at that same building.
Denver Police Detective Teresa Garcia says also that the boy is considered the only suspect at this point. The Colorado State Patrol is asking for the public's help in identifying the elderly victim of an accident. The woman is described as being in her 70s or 80s, is approximately 5 feet 2 inches tall and about 135 pounds. She was wearing a gray wig and sunglasses. The woman was crossing the intersection at Holly and Yale just after noon yesterday and was struck by a 1997 Honda Civic driven by 59-year-old Judith Bach of Denver. The woman is at Denver Health Medical Center being treated for life-threatening injuries. Investigators found a partial name on the clothing of the woman, but found no other identification. The first name is Mary, the last name begins S-C-H-M-A, but the last letters of the name were unreadable. Anyone who might know this woman is being asked to call the Colorado State Patrol at 303-239-4501. Your friends at T-Rex will be back in action tonight, and says spokeswoman Karen Morales, that's something to think about if you're driving on I-25 in Denver. The fun starts about 9 o'clock tonight.
We will have, again, a full closure of I-25 between Santa Fe and Hampton. Also starting at 9, we will reduce the lanes on Colorado Boulevard down to one lane in each direction on the far west side of the bridge so that we can continue with the final demolition of the eastern portion of Colorado.
That's the bridge, not the state. Morales says the good news is T-Rex crews made so much progress last night in the first three of three scheduled nights of closure that it's possible their work could be wrapped up tonight, one night early. In the meantime, when I-25 is open at Colorado, she stresses that the speed limit is 45. The names of terrorist detainees will be kept secret. The U.S. Supreme Court today, without comment, turned down an appeal seeking to reveal the names of more than 700 people who've been questioned, detained, or arrested since the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Civil liberties groups say the government is violating the Freedom of Information Act and the constitutional free speech rights of the First Amendment. Attorneys for the groups also expressed disappointment. The Iowa presidential caucuses are 1 week away, and many polls show former Vermont Governor Howard Dean holding a slim lead over Missouri Congressman Dick Gephardt. Dean dismisses growing attacks from his rivals.
It seems to me that most people are going to make up their mind about what to do in this campaign when they think about Iraq, when they think about jobs, when they think about health care and education, not who said what 4 years ago. There's a lot of that stuff going on in the campaign. I think it's too bad, and I think most voters don't care about it much.
That interview with Dean was aired on CBS's Early Show. At a debate in Des Moines, Iowa yesterday, the Reverend Al Sharpton accused Dean of not hiring enough minorities. Sharpton also addressed Dean's call for a national dialogue on race issues, saying Dean isn't qualified to call such a meeting. President Bush's first Treasury Secretary says the president was like, quote, a blind man leading a room full of deaf people during cabinet meetings. Paul O'Neill is criticizing President Bush in a new book written by former Wall Street Journal reporter Ron Suskind.
I mean, there are a variety of things that are stunning. What we now know is the president is extremely disengaged in most meetings, not just cabinet meetings, meetings of all shapes and sizes, as well as even one-on-ones.
Susskind was on NBC's Today Show. In the book, O'Neill also claims that President Bush started plotting Saddam Hussein's removal long before the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Time magazine is publishing excerpts from Susskind's book, where O'Neill claims he was fired by Vice President Dick Cheney after complaining about the nation's growing budget deficits. On Wall Street at this hour, stocks continue their upward trend. The Dow is up over 13 points, the NASDAQ up over 15, the S&P 500 up just over 3 points. In sports, Colorado's pro teams have the night off tonight. The Avs won two games over the weekend, beating the Stars 4-2 in Dallas on Saturday and beating the Blackhawks 5-4 in Chicago yesterday. Avs get back on the ice at the Pepsi Center tomorrow night to play the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. The Nuggets, meanwhile, lost their game to the Sacramento Kings yesterday. The Kings won 117-106. Nuggets head to Phoenix tomorrow night to play the Suns. College basketball tonight finds the Colorado State Rams hosting the Air Force Falcons. Remember, we live in a semi-arid climate, so we need to keep water conservation a part of everyday life all year long. Visit denverwater.org to learn more. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
The boys of Biketown are back for an all-new season of American Chopper on the Discovery Channel. Meet Paul Sr., the motivator.
All right, we got bikes to build.
And Paul Jr., the fabricator.
But I also built the entire bike.
Stars of the hot new series the New York Post calls Astonishing TV. High-octane family drama. The boys are back.
Yeah.
American Chopper, tonight at 10, only on the Discovery Channel.
Welcome to our store. Can I help you?
Yeah, how does this TurboTax software work?
Oh, it's easy. TurboTax asks you simple questions like an accountant would and puts your answers on all the right forms.
Does it check for errors?
Yeah, audit flags too, and calculations are guaranteed accurate. For less than $30, it's a great deal.
Wow. Do you sell a lot of these?
Oh, yeah, it's our best seller. Like 19 million people filed their returns with it last year.
All right, let's make that 19 million and one.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy, taxes done right. Available at a retailer near you. See box for guaranteed details.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by AutoZone, and we got a couple problems in the downtown area. Spear and Arapahoe, an accident. Watch for that. Police are blocking off a lane. Also, the lights are blinking four-way in red at 20th and Lincoln. Treat that as a four-way stop. If you want to avoid an expensive repair job on your car's automatic transmission, get to AutoZone and change your transmission fluid every 2 years or 24,000 miles. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. It looks very nice for us here over the next several days as high pressure to the north of us moves down a little more solidly into the Rockies. We'll keep sunshine around today with a high of 59, clear tonight with a low of 25, mostly sunny again tomorrow with highs in the upper 50s, and with a mix of sun and clouds, low 50s on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 54 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and in the next hour, we're going to be joined by an old friend of mine, Dean Adell. You have seen him on TV. You have heard him on the radio. He's been syndicated all over the country, and he has a new book out called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness, Dr. Dean's Common Sense Guide for Anything That Ails You. And, God, have I got a whole long list, so I can't wait to be cured here in the next hour. In this hour, what we've been talking about, if you're just joining us, we've been talking about the shocking blockbuster interview with Paul O'Neill on 60 Minutes that Leslie Stahl conducted, in which O'Neill said that shortly after Bush was elected, there was a meeting to talk about taking out Saddam Hussein. And Bush said, find a way to do it. So 9/11 gave them the cover to do it. Bush is also portrayed by O'Neill as being unengaged, never asking him any kinds of questions. I think, my guess is that he doesn't know what questions to ask. 303-382-1150. But the larger question, and here you have a scathing report by the War College, the War College, which is its most prestigious, its premier academic institution. broadly criticizing the Bush administration's handling of the war on terrorism, accusing it of taking a detour into an unnecessary war in Iraq and pursuing an unrealistic quest against terrorism, that the army is near the breaking point, that what we should be doing is not going after a global war on terrorism, that what we should be doing is focusing on the narrower threat posed by the Al-Qaeda terrorist network. But let me ask you this question. Knowing all of this, is this going to make any difference for people? Ruth called in and she said, you know what? She said, this is treason. This is an administration that lied. People spend $200 million. The country spent $200 million investigating Clinton's penis and $5 million investigating 9/11. And this is an administration stonewalling on 9/11. What is the vice president doing besides being the ventriloquist for George W. Bush? And remember, we're renaming George W. Bush Dick. He's going to be George W. Dickie Bush. That means that there are two Dicks in the White House, but one of those Dicks, Dick Cheney, is in Denver. At 6 o'clock, he's supposed to be at the Hyatt Hotel down in downtown. He's going to back a ban on gay marriage. We are fighting a war on terrorism. Right now, they want to do a database. If anybody flies, they want to get a tremendous amount of information on you and create this incredible database that's probably going to be prone to as many errors as computer centralized credit reporting is prone to. And what's the vice president talking about? He would back a ban on gay marriage. He's got a daughter who's gay, who's a lesbian. I wonder how she feels about that. Somebody who used to work here in Denver, 303-382-1150. Mary, 303-382-1150. Let's go right to the phones. Dwayne in Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you today?
Good, Dwayne.
Good. You know what? And I don't use the term loosely. I think this is tragic. And the reason I think it's tragic is because I don't think any of these revelations will matter one bit. Because since 9/11, we have become a nation more than willing to sell its soul for the illusion of safety and prosperity.
I hope you're not right, but you could be right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, when you look at the economy, nobody wants to don't mention the deficit, don't mention foreclosures, bankruptcies, unemployment. We just want to hear that it's the most robust economy that we've ever had in the
last. And that we're the strongest nation on earth, and that's why we can go marching into a country that was already on its knees when we got there. And Eric sent me the story in the Washington Post by Barton Gellman. He did extensive research. He had a lot of documentation, and there never was a weapons of mass destruction program as much as there was conversation about it.
Do you remember prior to the invasion, because I remember this so distinctly, that many conservatives in the Bush camp, including people on the street to the big national pundits, were saying, okay, I will back Bush on this war, but by God, he better produce those weapons of mass destruction. They have all just disappeared. Now all they say is, well, you know, Saddam was a bad guy. We needed to get rid of him. Or poor George got bad intel. And there's even those so disingenuous that they're now arguing that because it was called Operation Iraqi Freedom, that means that weapons of mass destruction were just a minor sideline that Bush barely touched on. You know, I don't care.
You can't argue logic. This is exactly the same sort of situation as when somebody is in love with somebody else and finds out that they've been cheating on them and they don't want to walk away from relationships. They rationalize it in a million ways. And that is exactly the behavior you're describing.
Absolutely.
So even with these blockbuster revelations by O'Neill, had these been revelations about President Bill Clinton, he'd have been gone in a heartbeat.
Yeah, people would have gone nuts. And I hear my biggest concern about what O'Neill has said is what's become my gravest concern for this administration, when he said the United States should not be a nation that lumbers about the world doing whatever it wants. And I have come to firmly believe that this administration, if not fully behind that, is very much bordering that.
We're going to leave it there, Dwayne. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Joe and Bailey, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
I certainly agree with what your last caller said. The reason I called is that I knew that Bill O'Reilly would pick up on this thing first thing this morning.
What's the junkie in the Walmart across the way saying about all of this?
Oh, I don't know. Somebody tell me
because I can't hear it, obviously.
Yeah, I gave up on that a long time ago. But, you know, it was amazing. You talk about how Wolf Blitzer responded. It was amazing how Bill O'Reilly responded. This was his response. If somebody tried to kill my dad, I'd do the same thing. So basically what he's saying is he doesn't care how many American troops get killed.
That's because his children are not in there fighting, and he's not in there fighting. If he were in there fighting, believe me, I think there would be a different response. And when you have a prestigious institute like the Army War College, the most prestigious of the Army's institutes, issuing a scathing report on the Bush administration's handling of the war and calling the army at the breaking point. You got to pay attention to that.
Well, I think the horrible thing is when you're called, I think it was Ruth or somebody who called in earlier, and, you know, she made the comment, it doesn't matter to these people, no matter what the evidence is. And it's the same thing is true in the all spin zone. They're totally oblivious to everything. You know, it's all about Paul O'Neill and sour grapes.
Sour grapes. Well, that's the line du jour. But the thing about O'Reilly is O'Reilly's just a talk host. He's not running the government. He's not president of the United States.
I understand. But he just told all his people today that he would have done the same thing. He would have sacrificed our troops, and he would have spent $150 billion and put us in ridiculous deficits over a lame attempt. Not even a real attempt, but a lame attempt to kill his father. That's how Bill O'Reilly would use the presidency.
Well, aren't we glad he's not president? Thanks, Joe. 303-382-1150. Rob on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, good morning.
Good afternoon.
I'm sorry. Anyway, I just enjoy your show. It's very entertaining. But I think you should go ahead and agree with the guests that have been calling in this morning. They obviously, most of them agree with your point of view, but you seem to want to stay away and from them all the way and agree with them. And I think that if you would just go ahead and say, yeah, I could believe that they sat down in a room and decided that they were going to kill.
I don't know what the point was of that particular phone call, but we'll never know. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150, more. Colin Powell, besides giving that incredible interview to the Washington Post in which he says there's no principle that he would resign over, and also it was a kind of making himself into a tragic and rather irrelevant figure, a tragic and bereft and rather irrelevant figure, he has now conceded that despite his assertions to the United Nations last year, he had no smoking gun, no proof of a link between the government of Iraqi President Saddam Hussein and the terrorists of Al-Qaeda. I have not seen smoking gun, concrete evidence about the connection, Powell said in response to a question at a news conference. But I think the possibility of such connections did exist, and it was prudent to consider them at the time that we did. But there was no smoking gun. So many of you who believe that there's a connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda, even Colin Powell, the White House said there was no connection. Colin Powell said there was no connection, but people continued to believe it because, very artfully, it was always included in the same sentence together. That was what was going on. And Bush repeated it a million times. He didn't actually say that there was a connection, but he so often repeated Iraq in the same sentence with Al-Qaeda that people came to the conclusion, erroneously, that there was some connection. 303-382-1150. Colin Powell's admission, remarks about this were a stark admission that there is no definitive evidence to back up administration statements and insinuations that Saddam Hussein had ties to Al-Qaeda. So let's see if we've got this right. The prestigious Carnegie Institute came out with a report saying there were no weapons of mass destruction. So that was one of the reasons we went to war. They don't exist. Then Colin Powell makes a stark admission that there is no definitive evidence to back up administration statements and insinuations that Saddam Hussein had ties to Al-Qaeda. All the reasons for going to war simply have evaporated, and we are still there, and we're going to be there for a long time. The English have said we're going to be there for several years, at least, and some of our top military people have said the same thing, 303-382-1150. Aren't you even remotely concerned that you were lied to in a way now that's beginning to unravel? And will it have any effect? And I particularly want to hear from people who continue to want to support George W. Dickey Bush in the face of the lies that are unraveling from his administration. And how do you support him in the face of what Paul O'Neill and others are saying about him? That he's disengaged, that he doesn't ask questions, that he apparently doesn't seem to have a clue, that he seems to be programmed by a guy named Karl Rove. And there was one of Bush's biographers who wrote a book called Bush's Brain, and it was a book about Karl Rove. And then you have George W. Dickey Bush saying that he thinks we should send a man to Mars. Well, I have a candidate. I know who we should be sending to Mars. I think that George W. Dickey Bush ought to be the first guy to go into space. He's already in space. He just hasn't acknowledged it. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Iraq's arsenal was only on paper. The non-conventional weapons never got past the planning stage. That was a big story in the Washington Post that everybody is citing now. And there is a poll out that says that Americans are evenly split over whether news organizations favor one political party or the other, with a growing number of Democrats joining a larger number of Republicans and seeing the media's bias toward the other side. 29% of Democrats surveyed by the Pew Research Center say presidential campaign coverage is tilted toward the GOP, up from 19%. So 10% more believe that it's tilted toward the GOP from the year 2000. A study released just Sunday says 42% of Republicans can see bias toward the Democrats, up from 37%. So the Republicans, the number who believe that there's more bias toward the that give the Democrats an edge is only up 5%. But Democrats who believe that the reporting is biased in favor of Republicans is up 10%. And I believe that most of what you see is very conservative, certainly in talk radio. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Ed, in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I love your show.
Thank you.
I've been listening, and all the things that Paul O'Neill said are, you know, pretty damning and pretty scary.
But will they have any effect? And I want to advertise for people who agree or who are supporters of George W. Bush, even in the face of O'Neill's allegations. I want to hear from those people how you defend your president.
Well, you know, what's really scary is that he has done this facing reelection at some point. And if he gets reelected, he has nothing to lose, and neither does Rove or Cheney. And
they're really going to step on the gas.
Oh, yeah. It's scary to think of how guileless and fearless they've been. And, you know, he's acted like he's had this huge mandate from the people, and he did not win the election. At best, he got half the vote, and he's acted like he's had this mandate to do whatever he wanted. And if he gets reelected, he has nothing to lose, and it's just going to be real scary.
No, but we have a lot to lose, and that's why he can't be reelected. But people who love him, love him. And I want to hear from the other side. Ed, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. John on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, I was wondering, why has no one mentioned that word impeachment? We talked about Clinton. We talked about impeaching him for lying about an affair.
We did. We had a caller earlier who said that Bush should be impeached for treason.
Yeah, we're talking about election. It's like we ought to be impeached. And I wonder why no public officials have mentioned that, including Democrats.
I don't know, because they're among the nearly comatose. That's all I can think of. They're so busy ganging up on Howard Dean and each other. That, who knows? And if you were a lawmaker and you realize you were lied to as much as Paul O'Neill is telling us you were lied to, wouldn't you be just furious about it?
Well, I think, yes. And just as somebody who actually served in the military, I'm outraged that he sent American troops off to die.
I am too.
I'm outraged by those people who call themselves conservatives who constantly call in about sending people off to die. Who didn't serve in anybody's military.
I'm with you on that one, John. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Talk radio. Both sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
If you haven't heard the big news about dieting, listen closely. The experts are now saying that low-carb diet plans do work. But if the thought of eating nothing but meat sounds scary to you, continue to listen closely, because the next 30 seconds could change your life. Introducing UltraCarb. UltraCarb is the original carb-blocking, fat-burning supplement guaranteed to help you lose up to 20 pounds in the next month without exhausting workouts or life-changing diets. With UltraCarb, you can continue to eat the foods you love, pasta, pizza, and bread, and still lose weight. After blocking the carbs, UltraCarb works with your body's natural fat-burning mechanism to rid your body of unwanted pounds. Imagine looking in the mirror a month from now and seeing the thinner, happier you. And because UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work, you have nothing to lose except unwanted pounds. Call now to find out how you can receive a one-month supply free with your order.
Call now, 1-800-451-6432. That's 1-800-451-6432. Lose unwanted pounds 100% safe and guaranteed. 1-800-451-6432.
Some people prefer the right wing. Others prefer the left wing. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. Our diverse lineup of talk show hosts features more viewpoints and perspectives than any other Denver talk station. Join Greg Dobbs from 6 to 10 a.m. Bill O'Reilly from 10 till noon. Enid Goldstein from noon to 3. Doug Kellett from 3 to 6. Dominic and Bill from 6 to 9 p.m. Lionel from 9 to midnight, followed by Alan Combs. Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150, KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:23 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. In the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Dean Adell, an old friend of mine. I'm delighted that he'll be here with us live in studio. He's got a new book out called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness. And he is going to be probably at Tattered Cover tonight. Which one? No, not going to be at Tattered Cover. Oh, okay. But he's on tour with the book, Dean Adell, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness. We'll figure out how to get healthy. Maybe we should send a copy to the White House because they need it. 303-382-1150. We're talking about this blockbuster interview with Leslie Stahl, Paul O'Neill, former Treasury Secretary. Granted, he was fired, but he didn't form the whole basis of this book that Pulitzer Prize-winning and former Wall Street Journal journalist Ron Suskind has written about the Bush White House. It is the most damning thing, and it's the most high-level thing. He's there about 19,000 documents to document the information in that book. Colin Powell admits that there's no hard proof linking Iraq to al-Qaeda. These are a stark admission that there was no definitive evidence to back up administration statements and insinuations that Saddam Hussein had ties to al-Qaeda. Meanwhile, Iraq's arsenal was only on paper. Weapons of mass destruction really didn't actually exist. A study by the Army, the most prestigious part of the Army, the Army War College, broadly criticizes and scathingly criticizes the Bush administration's handling of the war on terrorism, accusing it of taking a detour into an unnecessary war in Iraq and pursuing an unrealistic quest against terrorism that may lead the U.S. into wars with states that pose no serious threat, that the Army is near the breaking point. And then you have these incredible allegations by Paul O'Neill that the president is disengaged, that essentially he's uninformed, that in all the meetings they had together, he hardly ever asked a question. O'Neill wondered whether he knew enough to ask, to formulate a question. And when he tried to deviate off course at one point, Karl Rove, like a mantra, kept saying to him, stay with the principal, stay with the principal, stay with the principal. Remember the Manchurian candidate where the president was programmed? Do you think that that's true of George W. Bush? In some ways, I think it is. I think that the shadow president, everybody wondered if Nancy Reagan was the shadow president during Ronald Reagan's years in office. Everybody should be wondering who the shadow presidents are here, and it's probably a combination of Karl Rove and Dick Cheney. And the O'Neill blockbuster revelation on the 60 Minutes interview was when, in the face of these massive deficits, the then Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill had been chairman of Alcoa, had worked for many previous presidents in a high capacity, when he said, look, he said, you can't do tax cuts, this isn't going to work. He questioned the deficits and so on. Cheney said, Reagan proved the deficits don't matter. We took the midterms, and essentially these are our spoils. We deserve this. So this is for the cronies. This is not for the country. And we're going to pay a huge price for this. But my question is this. How is it that people hear these revelations and it's business as usual? Those of you who are going to vote for Bush no matter what, I want to hear from you. 303-382-1150. How can you justify these lies for going to war, for taking people's lives, for engaging us in an occupation we can't get out of for some years, in fighting this so-called war on terrorism? We leave the door open to al-Qaeda. Our first responders are over there, not over here. You have people crawling legless in hospital corridors who have come back, maybe only 500 or 600 killed, but thousands wounded, their lives irreparably altered. People, as I say, crawling on hands and because they don't have any limbs. They're just crawling. That's the only way they can move now. 303-382-1150. Thousands and thousands and thousands. One figure I've seen is 9,000. Cheney is standing by Bush's Iraq policies. He's in Denver today. That dick is in Denver. At a GOP fundraiser at the Hyatt Regency, 6 p.m. Those of you who wanted to know what the schedule was, that's what we found out. He defended the Bush administration, Cheney, he defended Bush administration's decision to go to war in Iraq as perfectly justified, despite a scathing new report that cast doubt on many of the administration's pre-war claims. In a telephone interview in advance of his scheduled fundraising trip to Denver, the Rocky reports that he stands behind the intelligence used to justify the March 2003 invasion of Iraq, and that documents found in Baghdad since then support suspicions that the former Iraqi regime had terrorist ties. I think we were perfectly justified in doing what we did, he said. I think the American people supported overwhelmingly, and I don't have any qualms at all about the decisions that were made. Cheney's comments came a day after the Carnegie Endowment for the International Peace released a report claiming that the Bush administration misrepresented the threat of Iraq's alleged chemical, bio, and nuclear weapons programs and the suspected terrorism connection. Even Colin Powell disavowed any connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. 303-382-1150. So if you support Bush in the face of all this, tell me why, because I don't get it. Rod, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Who?
Hi, Rod. Welcome.
Hey, Enid, what's happening?
Why, tell me why you called. What's your point?
Well, the interview last night just seemed to put into place everything else that all the other little trick pieces that have been coming at us for a year or so. Okay? The whole thing with Saddam and Al-Qaeda that didn't sound right. The whole thing with weapons of mass destruction that didn't sound right. All the little pieces, and there was one document in that interview that Mr. Susskind showed that showed a map of Iraq and all the all the potential suitors, I think it was.
Oh yeah, for oil.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So you know it's a scam, and
how come people don't want to impeach Bush? How come they don't want an investigation? There should be an investigation launched by Congress, by the Senate. There should be a high-level investigation. This strikes me, these lies strike me as impeachable offenses.
I think there also needs to be an investigation into our current media, our Wolf Blitzers, our Lisa Myerses, our Candy Crowleys, our Judy Woodruff, all these people that are just so willing. So totally willing to just overstep everything, just let it.
Well, they don't want to lose access.
Well,
they don't want to. Apparently, they don't want to lose access. It's like, how come nobody has asked the governor any hard questions about his marital status and whether he committed adultery? Well, if you're covering the governor and you ask a question like that, you could get frozen out, and it affects your career because now you can't cover that beat.
Well,
and if Judy Woodruff is going to take a stand, or she's going to question, as these reporters ought to be doing instead of acting like stenographers, then they're going to get shut out of having certain guests, and they're going to get shut out of being able to cover the story the way they want to.
Quite frankly, and I'm starting to be on my phone here, but quite frankly, all I can say is to hell with access. Whatever happened, standing up on your own 2 feet.
Whatever did, Rod? That's an excellent question. 303-382-1150. Pete calling from Fort Collins. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, Enid. You keep beseeching people, conservatives, to call you. I don't really believe you have a very large conservative audience to begin with. And the reason being is that the conservative movement in this country, which has taken over this country, only listen to the voices that they want to hear. They love Bill O'Reilly. They love Hannity. They love these people. They're not going to listen to you
actually,
because you offer a different point of view.
Actually, I get a ton of mail. And those of you who are conservative, we do have callers who identify themselves as conservative, but I get a ton of email from listeners who say they don't agree with a thing I'm saying, but that they are conservative and that they listen.
Well,
so I'm sort of surprised, you know, I'm not surprised by it, but that is what seems to happen. So those of you who are conservative.
Oh, I'm not a conservative. That's the whole point. I'm a card-carrying Democrat. And I listen to you and agree with most of what you have to say. But I don't think that people of the conservative ilk, if you will, are open-minded enough to listen to another point of view other than their own. You're not going to be very many conservatives who are going to argue against George Bush and Dick Cheney and the rest of these thugs.
I think the real conservatives should take huge exception because some of the bedrock principles that conservatism is based on, having to do with privacy and so on, and the egregiousness of, say, the Patriot Act, I think this deeply troubles real conservatives. But people who are just nasty and of a an IQ hovering somewhere at room temperature, those are people who are quite pseudo-conservatives. They call themselves conservatives because it's nicer than calling themselves nasty.
Yeah, but I keep going back to my premise here, that when you watch, and I've watched O'Reilly, because watching O'Reilly on his program or Hannity and those guys, it's like waiting for a car wreck. You know, that's what I enjoy watching with these guys, because they're so narrow of their philosophy is so narrow. And I watched that interview last night with Leslie Stahl. I watched that, and the first comment I made to my wife was, believe me, these conservatives are just going to cringe. They're just going to hide underneath the covers on this one.
Well, they're going to try. I want to see what happens out of the White House. I want to see if they how effective that 60 Minutes piece was. Remember the Michael Jackson interview where 60
yes.
Minutes might have paid for it? There was a lot of controversy.
Right.
That was a heavily watched interview. I want to see what effect this interview has, because there was a lot of press in advance. And I want to see how it gets spun from the White House in order to discredit Paul O'Neill, to discredit the author of the book. And I want to see how this thing plays itself out.
I would too. And just one last quick thing. You know, people talk about this so-called liberal media. Where the hell is the liberal media? You know, we have facts that Cheney visited the CIA 71 times between November and February of last year.
In order to pressure, politicize the intelligence information, and to cherry-pick unanalyzed data that they try to massage into making a case for going to war.
That is correct. I agree with you. That's all I have to say.
I'm glad you said it, Pete. Thanks very much for the call. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. So the lies for the war are beginning to unravel. And I want to know what's going to happen as a result of the 60 Minutes interview, how the White House is going to spin it, and what the result is going to be. Jim, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, good afternoon, Enid.
Good afternoon, Jim.
Just a quick point. Given that this happened early in 2001, and given that you have a brand spanking new administration there, and given that he's been a bad actor, he being Saddam, the last 10 years, the overflights are being shot at by him. Clinton, Albright, Clinton's CIA people, Clinton's national security advisor, everybody was saying that he had weapons of mass destruction. I can email you these comment for comment sources and everything if you want to argue about that. But, you know, given that all this was going on, your brand new administration, why wouldn't you be doing war planning in case you had to go in there and take this bad guy out? Seems like it's a very logical thing to do.
Well, that's how the White House is spinning it now that they were. But that isn't what Paul O'Neill is saying. Paul O'Neill is saying Paul O'Neill has 19,000 supporting documents. And what Paul O'Neill and apparently the 19,000 supporting documents are saying is that they wanted to find a way. 19,000. 19,000.
That's ridiculous.
You can believe that the Earth is flat too if you want to, Jim. But what is being reported? I'm telling you what's being reported from all sources is that it's 19,000 supporting documents. Make of that what you will. If you want to believe it, you don't have to believe it. But that is what's being reported. So O'Neill and the 19,000 documents, which apparently were in the possession of this Pulitzer Prize-winning former Wall Street Journal reporter, indicate that they wanted to take out Saddam from the beginning, and they had to find a way to do it, and they concocted it. Are you not troubled by the fact that no weapons of mass destruction have been found at all?
Well, how about the liquid agent that's been found? I think it was over the
Darling, I want you to read the Carnegie's, Center for Peace and their reports are saying that no bio, nuclear, no chemical weapons, nothing has been found, zero. And now you have no less a person than Colin Powell saying there was no connection with Al-Qaeda and Iraq. So how do you justify that?
Read the newspaper this morning. They have found shells with Lester agent in there.
Jim, report after report after report has said no WMD have come out, have been found. And then you have no connection between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. And they're the two main pillars for going to war, Both of them have come unraveled, unglued, and the Army in its most scathing report has said that the Army is near the breaking point. I mean, how can you possibly justify going to war? And this administration, 303-382-1150, I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 1:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Sunny, 56 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Haviland High Mileage Protection Motor Oil. A suspect has been arrested in what's estimated to be a $250,000 vandalism incident over the weekend. Denver police arrested a 13-year-old boy running from the office building on East Hampton and say that so far he's the only suspect. T-Rex crews will be back at work tonight demolishing the eastern portion of the Colorado Bridge over I-25. Starting at 9 tonight until 5:30 tomorrow morning, I-25 will be fully closed between Hampton and Santa Fe, and Colorado Boulevard will be reduced to one lane in each direction. The panic from mad cow disease is having an effect on Colorado jobs, with meatpacker XL Corporation cutting about 150 jobs in Fort Morgan, with beef processor Swift & Company cutting 40 Greeley plant workers. In sports, it's a night off tonight for both the Colorado Avalanche and the Denver Nuggets. Tomorrow, the Avs play host to the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, while the Nuggets will be in Phoenix to play the Suns. College basketball action tonight has the CSU Rams playing host to the Air Force Falcons. Haviland High Mileage Protection Motor Oil is specially formulated to clean and protect engines driven over 75,000 miles. Add more life to your car with Haviland High Mileage Protection Motor Oil. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:39.
This week on Colorado State of Mind, the Emmy-winning show looks at immigration and foreign visitors. President Bush unveiled his plan to allow illegal immigrants to work legally in the United States. Bush's plan allows companies to fill low-paying and often dangerous jobs with immigrant workers if the jobs cannot be filled by willing Americans. When the three-year work exemption expires, immigrants are expected to return to their home country. Proponents say the plan rewards hard work and protects immigrants. Opponents say it panders to big corporations and is a ploy to attract Hispanic voters in the upcoming election. Immigrants fear that it will result in deportation after they have worked hard to build a life in America. Is the plan a good idea or a shrewd political ploy? What do you think? Tune in Friday night at 8:30 as a panel of Coloradans debate this and more on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. Also, the U.S. now digitally fingerprints foreign visitors. Are we overreacting? Join the discussion online anytime at rmpbs.org. Watch Colorado State of Mind Fridays only on Rocky Mountain PBS.
KNRC News Time is 1:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by the Air National Guard. Got a couple problems in the downtown area. 20th and Lincoln have a power outage there, just that light, and it's treat that as a four-way stop right there, 20th and Lincoln, trying to clean up an accident, Spear and Arapahoe. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job, you bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Call 1-800-TO-GO-ANG. That's 1-800-TO-GO-ANG. I'm Darren Copeland with the KNRC Traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. With this nice influx of mild air, we're going to enjoy the next couple of days around the Denver area. Sunshine overspreading with lots of blue sky as well, and a high today of 59. Clear tonight with a low of 25. Mostly sunny again in the upper 50s tomorrow. Low 50s with a mix of sun and clouds on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 56 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Jim Conder here talking with Bev Rouleau from International Optique. Bev, fashion eyewear the best in the city and now a sale. Bev, what's up with that?
Jim, International Optique is having our annual sale now through January 15th, and it's a blowout.
I know the details. If you purchase prescription frames and lenses at International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard, you receive a 25% discount.
It's a family affair at International Optique. Just bring your family and friends. Everyone receives 25% off their new frame and lenses.
And don't forget to use your Flex Dollars while saving money. If you run out of time to use your Flex Dollars, come in for a gift certificate to be used later.
Jim, the excitement about International Optique is that we carry frames with a little attitude or a lot of attitude. Either way, let our staff make sure you walk out looking beyond fabulous.
For the best in eyewear in Denver, join International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard now through January 15th for their spectacular 25% off prescription frame and lens sale. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and we know International Optique.
KNRC Market Watch.
Stock markets holding positive inside the final hour of trading. Dow Industrials are up 14 points. NASDAQ is adding 18 points. The S&P 500 is up 4. Analysts say many investors are keeping cool as companies post earnings results from the last quarter. Ned Riley is chief investment strategist at State Street Global Advisors.
We've got about 11.5% of the S&P reporting this week. I guess the bottom line is that we've had an incredibly strong market up to this earnings period. The question to ask really is how much strength are we going to see once the earnings announcements are out there?
Riley thinks we just might see traders who bought on the rumor end up selling on the news. Flu vaccine has become a valuable commodity this winter, and one company that makes this stuff called Chiron has come up with an additional 363,000 doses, making the most out of leftover production materials. Doses go to the government. Chiron's stock right now is up a quarter. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
144 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. Later in the broadcast in the 2 o'clock hour, Dean Adell, Dr. Dean Adell, is going to join us. He's a great friend of mine, and you've heard him on radio and watched him on TV as a brand new book called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness. So we should send it to the White House is what I think. We were talking, we have been talking about this these explosive allegations from Paul O'Neill as the highest ranking person. This is a White House we have now where nobody, if they want to keep their job, breaks ranks. And this is the highest ranking person ever to write any kind of a tell-all about the White House. And how they're spinning it is that, nobody listened to him when he was Treasury Secretary, so why would anyone listen to him now that they're not doing book reviews? The other way they're spinning it is, why wouldn't they be talking about taking out Saddam? It's just a matter of ordinary war planning. But that isn't what O'Neill was saying. O'Neill was saying they were going to do it. They were doing it right after Bush was elected, before 9/11, and they just tried to find a way, some cover of doing it. 303-382-1150. Let's head over to Frank on a cell. Hi, Frank. You're live with Enid.
How are you doing, Enid?
Doing well, Frank.
Well, you know, you have put a big spin in my life. I'm a conservative, but I have to agree with you on your Bush stance. I think he's the Antichrist.
Did you vote for him the last time?
Yes, I did.
Who are you going to vote for this time?
You know, that's hard.
Because if all you do is just not vote for Bush, if all you do is vote for a third-party candidate, you might as well voted for Bush.
You know,
if you don't want him in there again, and I think he's dangerous, you've got to swallow it, suck it up, and vote for whatever Democrat emerges.
Right, I agree. However, it's very difficult because on their social platforms and other things like that, I just can't follow them. But as far as Bush's international policies, war, and so on, I think he's very, very dangerous.
He's very dangerous. He's very dangerous to us fiscally. And I think what you have to do is whoever the Democratic candidate is, hold your nose, vote for him, because whatever they do to us is not going to be nearly as bad as what Bush does. And then you can vote somebody else in 4 years later.
Yeah, if we have an economy left at that time.
I hope we do. But I think this man who started out with an enormous surplus is selling us down the river. I mean, what's happening now? We are getting there's a report about the International Monetary Fund downgrading the United States, saying that we could be a cause of world instability because of our deficits and because of our spending policies and the tax cuts.
Unfortunate.
Very unfortunate. So it isn't only that we destabilize our own country, we are capable, apparently, of destabilizing the rest of the world. All right, Frank, I'm delighted that you called. Hang in there.
Well, I just have one more thing to say.
Yeah.
My wife cannot believe that I listen to you. my wife and me have completely different political views.
USA Today did a story about couples like you where the man is pro-Bush and the woman is pro-Democratic or anti-Bush.
Yes, so my wife is hoping I'll convert to her side because I listen to you.
Well, at least convert long enough to save the country from this man in the next election, and then you can rethink it from there.
I'll do that.
All right, Frank,
thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Bye. Call us again, 303-382-1150. The lines are full. I think there's one line open, 303-382-1150. Judy just left, all right. Diana in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. This is the first time I've heard you.
I really appreciate your show, and I wanted to speak to the...
Wait a minute. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. We have something for you. It's our...
Big kiss?
That's a cheesy kiss for first-time
okay.
callers, Diana.
Okay, I could use that today. A gentleman called a couple of callers ago saying about these weapons that were just recently found and that they were, you know, toxic substances and so forth. I saw those on television. They were totally rusted out from pre-1991. They were not, I mean, they were not usable. They had not been a stockpile in this recent times. But that's how they do a spin. This guy calls in and says, well, we found these, and then they let it go at that.
They're 20 years old, apparently. Now, Greg has just emailed us.
They're
20 years old and not functional, and he wants to know if we had Molly Ivins on the show. We're trying very hard to get her, and also to our other emailer, we're trying very hard to get Kevin Phillips on, too. So we're really trying to get these people
on. But I think people need to hear right away that a person can come on the air and make a statement that is, he didn't even give the full information. You know, this.
But you know what? But he wants to believe in Bush, and he doesn't.
Well, he does, except that's how the spin goes, isn't it? That the rest of us believe him when we don't get the facts.
There you go. I thank you for the call.
Thank you.
And thanks for the info. 303-382-1150. Ann in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, Enid.
Yeah.
We're all struggling with why this war started in the first place. And a lot of people have been saying that it's a vindictive war around Bush Sr. And Paul O'Neill stating that Bush was thinking about war right at the time of election. I just wonder, what do you think of that? In other words, you know, Saddam tried to assassinate Bush Sr.
Right.
And
then Cheney, Wolfowitz, all those people wanted to petition Clinton to reshape the region and take Saddam out a long time before that, even.
Oh, sure. There could be multiplicity of reasons.
But the way they're spinning it is that as a normal course of taking office, this is somebody you would look at to take out, and that's the way they're spinning the story. O'Neill is talking about it in a different way. He's saying that they just had to find cover. And now all the cover that they have found to make it happen, all of it is unraveling. And what is astonishing to me is people aren't up in arms over being lied to.
Yeah, so what's left for a reason? We have oil. We have all different kinds of...
Well, there was weapons of mass destruction was the reason. No weapons of mass destruction. Many reports issued that say there aren't any,
right.
and there weren't any. And then we had that there was a link with Al-Qaeda, and there was no link with Al-Qaeda.
No.
And even Colin Powell has said that. The White House has said that. But Bush managed to put those two entities in the same sentence so often that a preponderance of the American public still believes that there was some connection one with the other. And
well,
there was none.
A lot of people that are talking about that because Bush alluded to his father, they've tried to kill my father so often, and they have alluded to the situation that this is just vindictive.
I got to see how the White House is going to spin it and whether there is very much of a firestorm that results. Now, remember, with the Valerie Plame, the outing of Valerie Plame,
yeah.
That happened, and nothing happened for months, and then it blew up into an investigation into a big news story. So we'll see whether this follows the same trajectory or some other, or whether it just gets buried and the White House successfully spins it away.
Well, this just sounds so simplistic as a reason, and I was wondering what your opinion was.
On?
I beg pardon?
My opinion about what?
About that this could be between Bush and his father. And his father stating that he had just decided.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe that's one factor. No, I think also he is surrounded by a lot of ideologues. And they manipulated him, and maybe his own anger at thinking that Saddam wanted to take out his father became part of the equation. But I think the whole equation is far more complicated than just the father.
Well, that's what I said. But I was wondering what your opinion was.
That's my opinion, Ann. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Dear smokers, my name's Megan, and I'm here to ask you to stop smoking. My daddy used to smoke. He was always promising to quit. He finally did. But then it was too late. He had cancer, and now he's dead. I'm only 10 years old, and I miss my dad. He was my best friend, and now he's gone.
If you're ready to quit smoking, we can help. We're the makers of Smoke Away, a product clinically tested and proven to eliminate your cravings and have you smoke-free in just 7 days. It's all natural and nicotine-free, and best of all, it's guaranteed to work or your money back. Call us today. Thousands have already quit using Smoke Away. Shouldn't you?
Please quit smoking.
Call now for your risk-free trial. 1-800-219-2704. That's 1-800-219-2704. Money back if you aren't cigarette-free in just 7 days. Call toll-free. 1-800-219-2704. That's 1-800-219-2704.
KNRC Community Commitment.
Looking for love in all the wrong places? Try the Max Fund Animal Adoption Center, located at 1025 Galapagos Street. The Max Fund is the only no-kill shelter in the Denver area for injured animals with no known owners. They have numerous loving cats and dogs available for adoption, and also offer low-cost pays and neuters. To find a friend or volunteer your time, call 303-595-4917 or go to www.maxfund.org.
If you're an adult with asthma, you're invited to see if you qualify to participate in a medical research study called Pegasus Asthma. To learn more, call toll-free 1-866-404-4447.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of Her Majesty Queen Noor on January 20th, retired General Tommy Franks on March 30th, and Steve Forbes on May 17th. Tickets start at only $50 for the three-lecture package and are on sale now. Go to www.denverlectureseries.com. And expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Greg Dobb. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
155. On the Monday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Dr. Dina Dell will join us in the next hour, live in the studio. Okay, this Friday, January 16th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at Johnson & Wales University at 1900 Olive Street in Denver. There's an event that's called Suddenly Sonoma, Definitely Denver, and you're going to spend a delightful evening with Sonoma County winemakers as they host this event. It's a consumer wine tasting from 6 to 9 p.m., a whole evening of wonderful wines and sumptuous food prepared by the culinary students of Johnson & Wales University. More than 80 wines from Sonoma vintners are going to be poured. The proceeds are going to go to charity. The proceeds will benefit the Colorado Restaurant Association Education Fund and Colorado ProStart Program. The tickets are $40 a person, and we have two we're going to give away. So $80 worth of tickets. You have to be able to make it on at Johnson & Wales, the event center, this coming Friday, 6 to 9 p.m., and be the fourth caller, 303-382-1150. It's for Friday night. If you're the fourth caller, you're going to win a pair of these tickets. They're going to be all these, I'm going to go, actually, I think. They're all these vintners from Sonoma County, which is wine country, without the H. Wine, we will sell no wine before it's time. Be the fourth caller, and you get a pair of tickets worth $80. I think we have a winner. There we go. Okay. We're going to be giving away all week long, and also we're going to be giving away tickets to Queen Noor. Her Majesty Queen Noor is going to, we are one of the sponsors of the KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series. She's going to be appearing January 20th at Betcher Concert Hall, Center for the Performing Arts, and we're going to be giving away tickets as well throughout the week. And then I take off for Venice. I'm going to Italy next week. So those of you who can speak fluent Italian, I guess we should be talking because I'm reviewing my language tapes, and I'm just going to be gone a week. But I haven't been to Italy in a while, and I never mastered the language all that well to begin with. So trying to remaster it is pretty challenging since I don't have all that much time. But Anyway, so I'm giving you a heads up there. We would have normally tried to have Queen Noor on live in studio. She will be in Denver giving a lecture. It's part of the KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series. We're one of the sponsors of that series. It's at Betcher Concert Hall, Tuesday, January 20th, and we're going to be giving away tickets for that as well. So let me see if I can find out. Joe was going to tell me, he gave me the universal sign of hang on just a minute. I'll give you the name of our winner as soon as I can get this thing going. Okay. So in the next hour, if you're just joining us, we have, first of all, I want to see, let's keep our eyes open because I want to see how the White House is going to try to undermine Paul O'Neill in this book. How are they going to try to lash out? Remember what they did to Joseph Wilson? They outed the wife, who was a very high-level CIA operative in a way that could be extremely dangerous for her. So what are they going to try to do to Paul O'Neill? Remember what he said. He said, I'm an old guy and I'm a rich guy. He said, but this is a White House that's extremely nasty and has a long memory. So how are they going to try? Will this thing turn into any firestorm? That's my question. How will the White House try to spin it? What will be the result of it? We'll have to keep our eyes open to see what happens here. Because all the reasons for going to war. Joe tells me that the winner of those tickets is Todd from Denver. Okay, Todd, congratulations. Got a great set of tickets here, $80 worth, and we'll be giving more away as we continue. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live. In the next hour, we're going to switch gears, and we're going to be talking to Dr. Dean Adell, his new book, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness. And you've heard him on the radio. I used to work with him at KGO in San Francisco, and you've watched him on TV where he is syndicated all over the country. Now he's going to be live with us in studio. One more hour of Enid right here on
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon, sunny, 56 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by RE/MAX. A Denver office building was vandalized to the tune of about $250,000 over the weekend, with the front door smashed in and all four floors of the American Oil and Gas building damaged in some way. Now Denver police have arrested a 13-year-old boy in connection with the incident. DPD Detective Teresa Garcia says the youth was arrested when officers were checking out the building.
They observed a male running from the building. So they detained him, and in checking the building out, they found two additional broken windows, which was not part of the damage from yesterday's incident.
The boy is being held at the Gilliam Youth Center for investigation of burglary. Garcia says the boy is the only suspect so far. T-Rex crews will be back at work tonight as they demolish the eastern portion of the Colorado Boulevard Bridge over I-25. Between 9 tonight and 5:30 tomorrow morning, I-25 will be fully closed from Hampton to Santa Fe, and Colorado Boulevard will be down to one lane in each direction. T-Rex spokeswoman Karen Morales says T-Rex crews appear to be ahead of schedule in their three-night demolition of the east side of the bridge.
We are very optimistic that we should be able to get everything done this evening and not have to close the highway for a third night in a row. But until we actually get in there and get it done, we can't be for sure.
Even with that good news, the project still has a long way to go. Morales says it'll take about a year to rebuild the eastern portion of the Colorado Boulevard Bridge. She also urges drivers to be cautious through the area and reminds you that from about Evans to just north of Colorado, the speed limit on I-25 is down to 45 miles per hour. An Air Force cadet facing drug charges is scheduled to appear at a hearing tomorrow morning. Cadet First Class Shane T. Thomas was charged last October 31st with two counts of wrongful use of ecstasy and with a single count of wrongfully communicating a verbal threat to another cadet. If convicted of all charges, he could be confined up to 13 years and have to give up all pay and allowances, and he'd be kicked out of the Air Force. Sparks are already flying at a hemispheric summit over a U.S. proposal to punish corrupt host governments. The Summit of the Americas in Monterrey, Mexico kicked off today with Latin American nations staunchly opposed to calls from the Bush administration to ban dishonest regimes from future meetings. The U.S. Supreme Court today handed the Bush administration a major victory in its war against terrorism. The court will allow the administration to keep secret the names of hundreds of foreigners who've been questioned, detained, or arrested since the September 11th terrorist attacks. An influential Republican senator says the July 1st deadline for government elections in Iraq could be pushed back. Senator Richard Lugar says it could be difficult to put together an election that would please all of the different political factions in Iraq.
How you reconcile these three elements, quite apart from other Arab tribes that are in Iraq, other people that are more or less secular, as opposed to being involved with the Sunnis or the Shiites, for example, is going to take some doing.
Lugar says that he believes self-government in Iraq is possible, though pointing to what has happened in Afghanistan as an example of successful self-rule. Iraq's top Shiite cleric is pressing for direct elections, while others fear direct elections could lead to Shiites dominating the electoral process. Former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill is not shying away from his controversial remarks about President Bush. After a 60 Minutes appearance last night, O'Neill is scheduled to talk to NBC's Today Show tomorrow morning. O'Neill claims Bush started planning Saddam Hussein's removal long before 9/11. A New Jersey man made a huge mistake when he decided to steal a couple of snakes from a pet store. Police say the 20-year-old man slipped the snakes into the pockets of his canvas pants and fled the store. While he was driving away, one of the snakes got loose and bit the man in the groin. Police recovered the stolen snakes. The man was charged with receiving stolen property. He's also expected to face theft charges. Police say the snake was not poisonous. On Wall Street, stocks were up just before the close of the session. Dow up more than 24 points. The NASDAQ up nearly 23. The S&P 500 up about 4.25. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche and Denver Nuggets both have tonight off. Avs get back in action at the Pepsi Center tomorrow night against the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. The Avs won both their games over the weekend, beating the Dallas Stars 4-2 on Saturday and beating the Chicago Blackhawks 5-4 yesterday. Meanwhile, the Denver Nuggets will head to Phoenix tomorrow to play the Suns. Nuggets dropped their game yesterday to the Sacramento Kings. In college basketball tonight, the Air Force Falcons head north to play the Colorado State Rams. When you're looking to buy or sell a home, look for the name that brings results, REMAX. There's a REMAX real estate office near you, so call them today. REMAX, outstanding agents, outstanding results. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Are you tired of the weight loss battle? Do you find yourself feeling desperate to lose weight and keep it off? Listen to what UltraCarb users are saying about their experiences.
I've been on UltraCarb for 2 weeks. I've lost a total of 10 pounds, and I cannot believe it.
In the first 9 days since using UltraCarb, I lost 10 pounds. It's the only thing that's worked for me, and I am so excited to get down to my goal weight. Right now, I'm losing 20 pounds a month, and within 6 weeks, I'll have reached my goal. UltraCarb is amazing, and I would recommend it to anyone who really wants to lose this weight.
Whoever said losing weight has to be difficult has not used UltraCarb. UltraCarb works by blocking carbohydrates, the source of most weight gain. If you want to lose up to 20 pounds and 2 to 3 dress or pant sizes per month, call now. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or receive a full refund. Call now to look and feel better about yourself.
Call 1-800-451-6432 and find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. That's 1-800-451-6432.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by RAD, and as you heard earlier in the newscast, we are having problems right now northbound I-25 between Colorado and Evans, as well as southbound I-25 at Colorado. Watch for that. 20th and Lincoln had a bit of a power outage. Those lights are out, so treat that as a four-way stop. RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving, says don't take your lifestyle on the road. Designate before you celebrate. Learn more at RADD.org. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. It looks like what we call the January thaw setting itself up, and mild temperatures will work with us through the midweek period with mainly sunny skies through the afternoon. We'll top out around 59 for the high and then drop with clear skies down to 25 for the low tonight. It'll be mostly sunny in the upper 50s tomorrow, low 50s on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 56 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and with me in the studio is Dr. Dean Adell. He has a brand new book out called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness, Dr. Dean's Common Sense Guide for Anything That Ails You. And if you listen to the radio or watch TV, you've hardly escaped Dr. Dean's presence because it's been everywhere. I'm delighted that you could join us today, Dean.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I think a lot of people have escaped.
I don't think so. We first met in San Francisco. We have lots of friends in common, and you actually saved my, if you didn't save my life, you saved my limb.
Really?
Do you remember that?
Oh, that's right.
I was living on a houseboat in Sausalito.
That was your limb.
That was my limb. That was my leg.
Yeah.
I was living on a houseboat in Sausalito, and at that time, in order to get onto the houseboat, you had to jump onto it from the dock, and it was really late at night, maybe midnight. I'm coming in with a bag of groceries. I jumped, but I missed. And I
thought
went.
You were drunk that night. You sure that's not the story? Yeah, I remember it differently. I'll check the records.
I jumped. I missed. I fell in, and it was so polluted and hideous. And my neighbors pulled me. They were a gay couple who were then dominatrix, lived in that houseboat after they moved out. They pulled me out, and I was so dumb. I was in such shock. I understand about shock now. I just took a shower and tried to clean it up. And I let it go, and it started to look really bad. And I was at KGO one day, and Lauren took me up, and he said, Dean's got to look at you. And you took one look at that leg, and you said, get yourself to Marin General. Get to an emergency room right away. And they gave me this, like, a huge antibiotic. And it really, I think if it had been another time and place, I might not have that leg today.
Yeah, well,
so thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome. Did I send you a bill? I don't remember.
No, it was free.
Okay, help me promote the book. That's a payback.
I am.
Yes.
I'm delighted to do that. Tell me how you became one of the first radio TV docs.
Yeah, well, it's a sordid tale. Can you handle it?
I can. The more sordid, the better, too.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
okay.
Really.
We can say anything we want here?
We can.
Okay, you got it. I quit medicine in 1972. I was in a surgical subpractice. I didn't like medicine. I took off on an odyssey. I never thought I'd get back to medicine, tell you the truth. 6 years later, I tried being an artist and a jeweler, and I had an antique store and was running an antique auction gallery in Sacramento, California. A nurse gets off the bus, walks in. She's down at the drunk tank. She needs help doing physical. I said, I'm a doctor. They paid $50, a lot of money in those days. I went down and met someone down there and says, you're the first doctor I've ever heard who speaks in English. Well, I hadn't practiced medicine, for 6 or 7 years. She says, I got a friend of a friend of a friend who was a radio station, a country music station, took me to meet this woman who indeed thought it was a great idea to have a doctor on the air where people could call up and ask questions. And that's what we did in Sacramento. And then she knew someone in San Francisco, had a radio station. I went to meet him, and then we tried it out, and here I am, talking to you today.
All these years later, what are the satisfactions of doing? I'll tell you what the satisfaction is as a listener.
Mm-hmm.
You take massive amounts of information, you digest it, and you make it available to listeners in a way that we can understand. And it's really, and the stories of people's medical odysseys are really intriguing. And that's what you do. Is that more satisfying to you than seeing patients, and particularly in this environment where, 19-year-old insurance clerks are making medical decisions?
Yes, no, absolutely. You're 100%. This is more satisfying. I went into medicine because I loved the information. Medical school and medical training was just brutal. It just bred the humanity out of me, beat it out of me. And by the time I finished, I was burnt out, and patients became your enemy, and taking care of people, the responsibility, insurance forms, and the bureaucracy. So I quit. So that must have been pretty heavy. It's hard for me to relate to who I was back then, but I quit it. Then when radio came along, oh, my gosh, I get to just read medical journals all day long and condense it and synthesize it and communicate it. And I realize I love that. I love communicating it. When I see people, say, oh, I understand now. Something that they thought was hard to understand. It's not hard to understand. Everybody makes it complicated. It seems sometimes it's important for the medical profession to use big words and make it seem intimidating so, you think you're getting your money's worth. But most things are not complex. And I really enjoy doing that. Plus, nobody bleeds on me. I'm not up all night long. There's not a lot of urine.
You're not on call on weekends.
Yes.
Do people ever write you letters saying that you have altered their lives in some way? You saved mine.
Well, yes. I want to be humble here, but, you know, when you're talking to the multitudes and the number of people, it's amazing how many times people will call and their doctors have missed something, or I get to tell them, listen, that kind of a symptom could be such and such a disease. Well, normally that's rare, but when you're dealing with lots and lots and lots of people, it happens. We truly save lives on the program. It's bizarre, but it comes up.
Has the reverse happened where people call you and say, I would sue you for malpractice if I had to pay you?
Well, I'm very careful about that, but mishaps have happened. For instance, when you say to somebody, well, I'll tell you the example. It's a classic, because I can't withhold the truth from people because some people might misinterpret it. Food sensitivities and food reactions. So once upon a time, I told the following story, that many people who think they're allergic, say, to chocolate, when you actually measure them, are not. And sometimes the only thing you can do is take freeze-dried food or chocolate, put it in a capsule, give it to the person unbeknownst to them, tell them it's something else, and see indeed if they get a reaction. So sure enough, someone at home, her mother was allergic to fish, bought freeze-dried fish, put it in a capsule, gave it to the mother, almost killed her, you know, with an anaphylactic reaction. And they had misinterpreted. Now, this is something you do in a doctor's office, because anaphylaxis can kill you. So people will misinterpret stuff, but I can't stop the cause of that. You know, that just happens. I always tell people, see their doctors, and don't do this without your doctor. When the estrogen fiasco came along, I mean, I didn't expect women to go out and just throw out their estrogen pills. That's something you have to do in conjunction with your physician. So, works both sides of the fence.
Sitting in the seat that you are sitting in right now have been a whole roster of people, including Caroline Kennedy, but most recently, Deepak Chopra.
Mm-hmm.
You have spent a lot of your medical career arguing, trying to expose what you have called medical hucksterism.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And only to see that a lot of it is taking off in the guise of New Age healing.
It's like mainstream now. When I was a hippie, you know, I was an old hippie in the 60s and the 70s when all this began. I'm sure before, you know, this ever occurred to Deepak. And I was around and was an alternative. Well, we used to argue how to spell holistic. I remember that was a big argument. Is it a W-H or is it an H? And, you know, my plea is simply that people, when they do things for their health, that they do them based on evidence, on objective evidence. Now, a lot of things are harmless. I don't mind any of the New Age stuff. It's fine if it makes you happier or more relaxed. We need so much more of that. I mean, my real pitch is enjoy your life. You know, life is a wonderful, sensuous experience. Now we're just walking around a bunch of neurotic idiots worried about everything. Worried about the water, worried about the food, worried about the air. So if you're going to do those things, but things that have potential harm is, and you're going to put off rational treatment and diagnosis, think first and go by the evidence. And many people don't do that. It's like a courtroom. You'd never put someone in jail or free them from prison without evidence. Well, before you shove stuff in your face and jump on some of these, you know, New Age bandwagons that potentially are harmful but mostly just plain worthless, just think about it. Just think about it.
Your new book, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness. Why'd you write it? What are you trying to tell us here?
That I need to help some help with the tuition payments. You know? That's what I'm trying to tell you. No, you know, it was an attempt. You know, as you see in there, I didn't go for this in the beginning. People told me that the radio show is fun. Radio is fun because of there's something voyeuristic hearing people's questions. Well, real questions from real people, everybody said, would be appealing. And I thought, nobody wants to listen. And I think I've changed my mind a little bit. These are real questions. This is what's on people's minds, and it gives me an opportunity to answer questions directly.
What are the questions you're most frequently asked? Here's one: Are yearly checkups necessary? Mm-hmm. You know, you always hear stories about people just came out of the doctor for the yearly checkup, got a clean bill of health, and then dropped dead.
We'd love to eliminate them. You know, exactly for that reason. You hit the nail right on the head, Ian. You know, insurance companies will pay for it. Doctors will do them, but behind the scenes, we lament if we could stop doing them. We could almost afford to bring medical care to everybody because the yearly physical is a waste of time. Testing is important. Get your pap smears, get your mammograms, get your high blood pressure check, get your cholesterol check. But the yearly physical is a waste of time, costs money, and does not add to your health. But we can't get people to stop. We can't get people in the same way to stop going to doctors for colds. Colds don't need to be seen by a physician. If we could stop people going to ERs for colds and flus, although now with the flu, we know it's kind of can be a serious illness, but knowing when to go to the doctor and stop annual physicals, we could probably afford medical care.
When should we go to the doctor for flu? Colorado was hit particularly hard this year.
Oh, Colorado set the nation, you know, off into essentially a panic, and I must admit the Colorado experience was horrible. But I also have to tell you, in an average year, 300 people a day in the United States will die from the flu. In an average year, 92 children will die. Well, my gosh, we've got 34 so far. This may turn out to be a light year for the flu nationally. But it's like
but
the
most of it happened in Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado got hit. It was wild. And we don't know. Listen, until the spring, looking back, we won't really know. But, you know, we can't report every death in the media that happens if 300 a day die. And yet, you know, it doesn't happen. It's like the stock market. It doesn't go up on a straight slope. It's up. It's down. It's all over the place. Some states get hit crazily heavy, like Colorado. And some years, Colorado will have very few flu cases. So it's the mix that really counts. And yet, when you're in the middle of it, it seems scary.
Well, we have West Nile virus, too.
West Nile virus is another one.
Should we be mad at government officials or the not government officials, but the people who make the decisions about what flu strain, what the vaccine is going to be for the coming year? Is that just a crapshoot? They knew that what is this, the Fujian strain?
Yes, well,
might
you're
take
asking
off,
the questions obviously apply. You're very up on this. I never heard anybody ever ask me a question so intelligently because absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
We have to get. Well, it's
a high compliment coming from
you.
No,
it is a high compliment, but listen, most people aren't aware of this. The flu vaccine is put together in the spring before the season. How do we get? It's a guess. It is a guess. And the Fujian strain kind of surprised us. Some years we hit it. Some years we don't. It is a crapshoot.
I mean, did somebody fall down on the job there? Or was it an
honest
inability to predict the future as precisely as we hoped it could be predicted?
Nobody could have predicted it. Because these genetic drifts, you know, all the flu start in the throats of pigs and then ducks in China. In Southeast Asia, and to predict ahead of time how the genetic drift is going to happen is impossible. They just simply do the best that they can based on the evidence, and the rest is a crapshoot, and you have to accept it.
My guest is Dr. Dean Adell, if you're just tuning in. His new book is called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness. Do you remember getting a phone call, by the way, of asking about interspecies dating, a guy and his horse? I've told that story a million times. Do you remember that call?
Absolutely. I remember the horse's name. It was a donkey, please. Don't get confused.
I thought it was a horse.
It was a donkey named Pixel.
A donkey named Pixel?
Yes,
tell the story, because
okay,
a friend of mine was your screener, and the call was so irresistible. He called you. Apparently, the caller called about wondering if he could get any diseases from, quote, interspecies dating.
Yes, I know. It was remarkable. The guy made it's sick, of course, but a semi-cogent argument for, this was in the early days of HIV, and he says, what's the harm? I can guarantee you the donkey likes it, okay, because the donkey could walk away. If it
Who's
wanted
the
to
get... ass here?
I know. You didn't say that.
No,
she said that,
not
me.
I did not say that.
And, you know, made a fairly intelligent case for this.
And he said, and the other part of the thing was, he said, like pedophiles everywhere, where they say the five-year-old came on, he said the donkey came on to him.
Yeah,
he didn't
exactly.
go come on to the donkey.
Fault, right?
It was the donkey came on to him.
Donkey chasing him. It was and he eventually sent me pictures, by the way.
I remember. I saw those pictures of him and the donkey.
Donkey love. I mean,
you know what I said?
He's kissing the donkey.
And if they, I thought it was a horse.
Yeah.
And I thought.
All right, we're going to split the difference here, okay? Like.
And I said that if they ever break up, the horse is going to sue him for palomino money.
Oh, that's right.
That was my line, which I've quoted endlessly, of course.
Yes.
All right, so what happened? What did you tell him? Would he interspecies dating, whatever that may consist of? What was your advice to this man?
I can't remember the details, but, you know, he wouldn't take no for an answer. I mean, he said, listen, why should I go out and risk sexually transmitted diseases? People, I mean, I'm kind and loving to this animal. I mean, he had a whole litany of stuff that nothing I was going to say. So the question he asked me about, are there any diseases you can catch from having, you know, dating with a donkey, I certainly must say that medical school did not teach me about any illnesses that one can contract. I'd worry more about the donkey than him, to tell you the truth.
My guest is Dr. Dean Adell. His new book, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Computers talk in a strange language to us. Then again, so do computer techies. It's hard to find someone who will understand your computer needs. That's why when you're looking for solutions to your computer problems, you're looking for DataTarget.com. At DataTarget.com, you'll find people who target your computer needs in plain English. They'll cater to your problems relating to Microsoft Windows, installation upgrades, email, networking, internet, security. Whether it's a business need or personal, you'll find DataTarget.com makes the problem easy to solve. DataTarget.com will be there at your business or home to help rid the frustration of trying to resolve it by yourself or spending hours on the phone with a tech guy who can't even talk. DataTarget.com is affordable, and best of all, your first consultation is absolutely free. DataTarget.com. Call 877-856-1206. That's 877-856-1206. Or log on to www.datatarget.com.
AM 1150 KNIC and the Denver Business Journal present Insights, fascinating people making an impact on our world. Listen to KNIC weekdays at 7:20 a.m. for discussions with leaders in business, entertainment, sports, education, government, and the community regarding their views on leadership. Listen for insights from leaders like Jack Welch of GE, composer Quincy Jones, cyclist Lance Armstrong, and former President Jimmy Carter. Insights is brought to you by EKS&H Accounting and First National Bank of Colorado.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Okay. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:23 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. My guest, Dr. Dean Adel. You've listened to him on the radio. You've watched him on TV. He has a brand new book out called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness. Really an interesting book. He's with us live in studio. And if you have questions, medical questions, Dr. Dean, the doctor is in, and he will take your questions. So 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Patrick on the cell. Hi, you're live with Dr. Dean and Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
I was shocked. I walked into my truck after walking 3.5 miles, and there's Dr. Dean. You're not in Denver on the radio anymore, Doc.
You know, the radio business is a tough business. Why don't you start a mail-in campaign here at KNRC and tell them they should put the show on?
Well, you know, every radio station in town gets a call from me periodically. Because, you know, you're not this wine-and-grind doctor. I mean, you got some sense to you.
Well, thank you.
Because you, my 6-year-old grandson isn't circumcised.
Uh-huh.
You're anti-circumcision, right?
Yes, I've been that for a long time. But now, listen, it's a non-issue now. Every medical group, I can truly say, in the world now is against routine circumcision of newborn males, and that's been an uphill battle. And by the way, the country divides itself from Denver to the west. And beware, circumcision rates have plummeted, but to the east, it's still them. Well, thank you very much for that compliment. I'm going to go back to the home office and find out why we're off the air here in Denver.
Get some salesman to hammer on somebody. You need to be on the radio.
Oh, you know how the business works, don't you? You gotcha. I'll beat somebody up
every day, but I don't get to listen to you anymore for years. It's terrible.
Okay.
Patrick, thank you for that. 303-382-1150. Tell us about circumcision and why you're against it.
Well,
being a Jewish guy, you're going against the religion.
Oh, my God. Look, can you imagine my mother and my father just freaked out by
it? I thought that was supposed to be that people who were getting circumcised, mm-hmm. I mean men, were mm-hmm. getting circumcised because mm-hmm. it was supposed to help with non-transmitting diseases, and there were all these medical reasons.
Yeah, it was all these medical reasons. It actually was an anti-masturbatory movement in the 19th century. Kellogg, our buddy Kellogg, was part of that movement.
In other words, eat cornflakes, don't masturbate?
Eat cornflakes and don't, no sex at all. He was anti-sex entirely. When you realize that we were, or are, the only country in the face of the earth, other than Israel, where it's mostly for religious reasons, of course, that still circumcises newborn males. Hold them down against their will, no anesthesia, and snip off a very important part of the anatomy for no reason whatsoever. The medical myths, you know, existed and persisted, and they still go back and forth. You know,
but
if you
there
have
was
AIDS,
no medical reason for doing it?
Oh, there was, supposedly, but the medical reasons never turned out, like cervical cancer, and it turned out that Jewish women were just more chaste in the old days. I mean, in Israel, cervical cancer rates started to climb with changes in the cultural climate. And most important, I mean, imagine they tried to do this to little girls. I mean, the hue and the cry, and how men have been so funny about this. It alters sexual sensations, although we're not quite sure how. We know that from men who've been circumcised as adults. And there just is no compelling reason. And when you're going to do something to a newborn infant, you know, against their will, that has no compelling medical reason, well, you're standing on shaky ground. So as I mentioned, circumcision rates are plummeting in the western half of the United States, but in the east, it's still it's still done. And it's baffling. It's a very, it's a long and really fascinating story of how America came to do this. And the common reason you hear, by the way, from men is, I want my boy to look like me. Whoa, hang on a second, you're bald. You want your kid to be bald? You got big ears. You want your kid to have big ears? It's the most preposterous thing. You know, this part of the anatomy that's hidden, men want their sons to look like them. And it has just been a fact.
What would Freud say? In other words, if daddy had to endure it, then you're going to have to endure it.
Oh, yes. Oh, Freud would have a lot to say about it, although it was a traditional thing that was done in Freud's time, and Freud was Jewish, of course. And it is, once again, you know, it's really women who have brought a lot of this issue to the fore with female circumcision, as women have ranted and raved. And yet I have heard all the same medical reasons raised. I met a gentleman from East Africa once who says, women, they are cleaner when you do circumcision on them. I hear from women in the United States, oh, it's dirty without a circumcision. It's cleaner. You know, and you can't use that logic back and forth. One of the problems is, of course, American women are not used to intact men. Most American women have never seen a penis the way I can say that, right?
Yeah.
The way it came from God, as if God screwed up the design of the human body and we have to fix it. You know, when a newborn baby is born. When you stop to think about it, it becomes a preposterous issue. I mean, it really holds no water. And I've got 5 sons, and half of them are, and half of them aren't. So I learned late in life too.
You mean you decided at some point no more?
Yeah,
for your kids.
Yeah. And early on, I accepted it, you know, and then after a while, I started thinking about it, and I said, whoa, this is a crazy thing. If they want to do it when they're 18 or 21, they can make their own decisions about their own
genitals. It hurts at 18 or 21.
Well, it hurts when you're newborn, too. You know, I was taught in medical school, babies don't feel pain. We've done like 5 or 6 studies now. Babies, when they're circumcised, feel excruciating pain, and it modifies their pain responses later on. When newborn males who are circumcised go and have their newborn immunizations, they actually cry more and respond more than if they are left intact. It's once again, when you think about it logically, why would we do a thing like that?
My guest, Dr. Dean Adel, his new book, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness. Charles, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Dr. Dean and Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, Dr. Dean. My partner had a surgery about 2 years ago, and a medical instrument that was plastic was left in him. He had all sorts of infections, problems, till finally they opened him up. They removed this instrument, but part of it was broken, et cetera. And anyway, it's been a good year until the last couple months. It's been swelling, and now it's been determined there's probably a severe infection in there again. And I guess my question is, if fragments were still left inside there, can the body handle that, or is it going to have to be
removed? No. The story you told me, I would say, did you say it was a plastic instrument?
I believe it was plastic, yes.
Yeah. Let's go back over this. First of all, in an operating room, there is someone whose sole assignment is to count the instruments that get put on the tray and count them at the end of the operation. There's someone there whose job it is to count the sponges. Now, in surgery, everything, you know, I don't want to be gross, but, you know, it can get bloody. It's easy to lose things, but that's why you have that person who does that. Any plastic instrument or metal instrument is tagged with something that will show up on an X-ray.
I think it was President Bush's previous job. So
So here's what happens. When you leave something in the body, infection is really easy to start. The story you're telling me makes me think, until proven otherwise, I'm going to assume there is more that's left in there, because if it was taken out, it would heal. When you put a foreign body inside the body, infection is almost the first thing that happens, and it doesn't heal because the germs can hide around that foreign body, and the body cannot isolate it and wall it off. Now, in some places, the thing will migrate. Depends where the surgery was. A lot of times, maybe you've gotten a splinter, and little by little by little, it works its way out. And there are incredible stories in medicine of instruments and things working their way through the body. You know, surgery on the left side of the body, and the thing finally emerges 6 months, a year later on the right side of the body. But you don't want to wait for that with an infection. So they're probably going to want to go poke around and remove a fragment, which will clear up the infection rather rapidly. It's an unfortunate story, and this is medical error. I mean, this is, you know, the kind of thing that lawyers love. Well, I hope friend's okay. I mean, that's the most important thing. And sometimes, once again, to get rid of that infection, you may have to go in and remove this foreign body.
What about the theory that sometimes people have shrapnel and other things that they have to live with?
Yes, depends on the material. I mean, some materials will remain inert. And some material, because obviously we make implants and we make artificial joints, and you know, people can take a bullet and it can stay in their body for a while. It depends where and how the body isolates it, but once it gets an infection, it's almost impossible to clear that infection. So all right, so good luck to you.
Charles, thanks for the call. 303-382-1150. Dave calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Dr. Dean and Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hello, Enid. Hello, Dr. Dean. Really
Hi.
Wonderful to hear you.
Thank you.
Really, one of like the terrible things about really medicine is there's a lot of judgment involved in medicine. And it's sort of like a huge gray area.
Yes.
But also, medicine has a lot of things that are facts.
Right.
Which are chosen by evidence. I love to hear you talk about evidence.
Yes, well, I love to hear you. You could have written my book the way you're talking so far.
Well, the problem is that in medicine today, and especially with drugs, it's like there is a conscious effort to not have evidence and to justify everything with like opinion. And drugs is one of the area of really medicine where, mercifully, we have relied generally on evidence. I mean, drugs have to prove things, which a lot of other medical procedures don't have to do.
Right, right.
And the problem is that...
What about all the advertising, I think? Are you leading to that, that there's so much advertising of different drugs?
Well, no, I was going to say that there are certain things in medicine, because they involve off-patent types of compounds, that no one will find out the truth. Specifically, as an example, vitamin C in the common cold. Does the stuff work or not?
And yet,
so do you have a question, Dave?
Well, the problem is how can we get our government, because they're really the only ones left who have an interest and the money to really validate this.
No, they're busy keeping gay marriage from happening, and then once in a while they take something off the market like Ephedra, and otherwise they're too busy. Is I think the answer, but thank you for the question.
Yeah, well, it's an important. He's right in a lot of ways, in that there is no. I mean, personally, if he's asking me the question about vitamin C in the common cold, I think there have been enough studies done to dissuade me from thinking that it does anything. So I don't take.
You think
vitamin
it doesn't
C.
do anything?
I don't think it does a thing.
Linus Pauling was wrong.
Pauling was wrong about the cold. Linus Pauling was was a brilliant biochemist, and all his theories were very, very interesting. And vitamin C, of course, the fortunate thing is, as the gentleman mentioned, is it is easy with drugs and or supplements or vitamins to prove or disprove their efficacy, because you just simply give half the people the real deal. You give half the people the phony pill, and they don't know the difference. Hard to do with surgery, although we have done phony surgery to prove whether certain surgeries work or not. With vitamin C, the studies have been a disaster. I got to say, overall, all the vitamin studies have been just horrible, have been surprising. You know, we got fooled, as we did with estrogen, in that with people who take vitamins have more money, better access to medical care, take better care of themselves. Women who took estrogen were more upscale women. Women who took better care of themselves. So it seemed as if the estrogen and the vitamins were helping them. When we finally got around to doing the gold standard, the double-blind studies, half the women getting estrogen, half not. Half the people getting real vitamins, half not. Oh, my gosh, we found horrible and surprising things that we should have known a long time ago, that estrogen not only doesn't work, but is dangerous. Vitamins, in the last five huge double-blind studies, this is where 30,000 people were taking either placebo or real vitamins, the vitamins were not only worthless in preventing heart disease and cancer, but they were harmful in some cases, especially smokers. Vitamins caused lung cancer. and cause colon cancer in smokers. And there may be warnings coming out about that. So
which
what
vitamins
is
cause lung and colon cancer?
Vitamin B's. Vitamin the carotenes, the vitamin A group, and also the vitamin E's. What a surprise! And then we stepped back and we thought about it and realized in vitamin pills there's only beta carotene. Well, there's alpha, delta, gamma carotene in natural foods. Vitamin E is alpha tocopherol. Well, there's gamma tocopherol, which is even more powerful, and there's delta tocopherol eliminated from the vitamin pills. So the vitamins have really selected out only a couple of the vitamins. And when it comes to cancer, you know, cancer is a very voraciously growing cell, fast growing cell, rapidly growing. You may be feeding the cancer by pumping vitamins to it, but the newest thinking in cancer is all this anti-angiogenesis stuff where we're starving the cancers by cutting off the blood supply, and people pumping their bodies full of vitamins may be helping the cancers grow, especially in smokers, at least. So the studies have been very disappointing. Echinacea and the cold, we talked about that, and ginkgo biloba does not help you get smarter. And yet people in America don't want to let facts get in their way. Like this gentleman said, I wish the government, somebody would pay for it all and get it over with so we can move on to the future and so we'd know what works and what doesn't work.
My guest, Dr. Dean Adel, his new book, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness. You can join the conversation if you have questions for Dr. Dean, 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150, KNRC. 2:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Sunny, 55 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the 17 John Elway Auto Nation showrooms. Denver police have arrested a 13-year-old boy in connection with a massive vandalism incident at the American Oil and Gas building on East Hampton. Estimates are that about $250,000 of damage was done to the building over the weekend. DPD says so far the boy is the only suspect. The Denver City Council will hold a public hearing today to listen to comments regarding a ballot measure that would ban displays of exotic animals in the city of Denver. The measure, begun by a 15-year-old girl, received enough signatures on petitions to get the issue on the November ballot. If the measure passes, it could mean the end of Denver visits by the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. Flu cases in Colorado continue to decline with 266 new confirmed cases in the seven-day period, which ended on Saturday. That number compares to 358 cases the week before. So far this flu season, there have been a total of 12,051 confirmed cases of the flu. In sports, no games for the Colorado Avalanche or Denver Nuggets tonight. The Avs will play host to the Anaheim Mighty Ducks tomorrow, while the Nuggets will head to Phoenix to play the Suns. In college basketball tonight, the CSU Rams welcome the Air Force Falcons. At John Elway Showrooms, you get a certified used vehicle with a 99-day warranty and a money-back guarantee. There are no worries at all when you get a John Elway certified used vehicle. Honest. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:39.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapahoe Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy: sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Napoleon.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Napoleon.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
KNRC News Time is 2:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Subway and real problems around the metro area. 225 in northbound and southbound. Just really a mess. We had an accident southbound. That's on the right shoulder. No report of an accident, but just a lot of congestion northbound starting at 6th Avenue. Also getting a report from a listener. There might be some slowing on I-25 right around 6th Avenue. No reason for that. Of course, I-70 at Chambers is closed down due to the vice president visiting the Denver. Start the year by eating and feeling good at Subway. Try Subway's new Atkins-friendly carb-controlled wraps. Savor the flavor of turkey bacon melt or chicken bacon ranch Atkins-friendly wraps. Now at Subway, I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. With this nice influx of mild air, we're going to enjoy the next couple of days around the Denver area. Sunshine overspreading with lots of blue sky as well, and a high today of 59. Clear tonight with a low of 25. Mostly sunny again in the upper 50s tomorrow. Low 50s with a mix of sun and clouds on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 55 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live. It's the new year. How about a new you?
Aspen Grove, the fabulous open-air shopping center located at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton, is sponsoring the new year, new you makeover for one lucky man or woman or a couple. Winners will receive new hairstyles from Avalon Day Spa, makeup by the professionals at Origins, and a dinner for two on Valentine's Day for your reveal.
And that's not all. Each winner will receive a $1,000 shopping spree at Aspen Grove.
To enter, write 50 words or less on why you deserve this makeover. Include your photo. Drop this off at the Aspen Grove Management Office or the J. Crew Store.
Aspen Grove at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton is open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6. Call them at 303-794-0640. Experience shopping in a whole new light. Sunshine.
No purchase necessary. Employees and family members of KNRC and Aspen Grove Management are ineligible. Qualifiers will be chosen at random. Entries must be received by February 6th at the Aspen Grove Management Office or Aspen Grove J. Crew Store. For complete rules, stop by the Aspen Grove Management Office.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major averages had a choppy session but opened the week in the green. The Dow Industrials rose 26 points to 10,485. The Nasdaq gained 25 points to 2112. The S&P 500 added 5 points to 1127. Big board volume was about 1.5 billion shares. Advancers beat decliners by a roughly 5-3 margin. Alcoa fell $1.28. Merck lost $1.23 a share. They were the worst performers on the Dow after analyst downgrades. On the positive side, Caterpillar added $2. Merrill Lynch has raised its quarterly profit estimate for the Dow stock. And fellow Dow component Hewlett-Packard gained 52 cents. HP will be one of six companies to have their stocks traded on both the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ. Among the others, Charles Schwab rose 45 cents. Walgreens added 57 cents. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Closes your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
244 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And with me live in studio, Dr. Dean Adelhi has a new book out called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness, Dr. Dean's Common Sense Guide for Anything That Ails You. I think you need to send this to the White House. You know, I'm renaming George Bush Dick.
Uh-oh.
Dick, because I think it more aptly describes him. So now we have two Dicks running the White House.
Oh, that's good.
One of whom is now in Denver. 303-382-1150. We have a number of people who want to ask you questions.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the phones and to Carl in Denver. Carl, hi, you're live with Dr. Dean and Enid on AM 1150.
Oh, well, I'm a first-time caller, but no need for the kiss. I do have a question. Is there ever a chance that we're going to get the Dr. Dean Adele show archived online again?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, it's it's very expensive to do that, and I think it's a good thing because it's medical and it's health information. Why don't you let me work on that one? I've had that request more than once,
okay.
And I think it's, I agree with you. I think it's important because you can't listen to it all the time, and you never know when your disease will come up.
you're not really on here in the afternoon anymore.
No, I'm going to work on that.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to go to town on that.
That's
one.
That's my assignment.
Thank you, all right. Carl. 303-382-1150. Robert calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Dr. Dean and Enid. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Dr. Bob Dormer.
Yes.
I am a 54-year-old athlete, amateur athlete. I have a pretty low-fat diet. I do 10-day fruits and vegetables. My wife's a doctor of nutritional biochemistry, and she didn't know the answer to this.
Uh-oh.
The question is, do you know of any research out there that might link a low-fat diet to connective tissue problems like knee problems? I've recently had some detached cartilage in my knee, and I was wondering if maybe more fat is good for joints.
Yes. Well, you know, The newest stuff on glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate, they're two supplements that may actually wind up having some benefit. Those actually are the substances of which cartilage is made. And you go back 30 years ago, there was a guy once who proposed eating chicken bones. When you eat chicken, instead of just eating the chicken meat, make sure you crunch a little on the cartilage. Everybody kind of laughed at him. And now these are the two hottest supplements going, and two supplements I'm willing to admit may, I say may, because there's a big study ongoing right now, may turn out to work. So other than munching on chicken bones, no. But your question reminds me of my favorite saying that I abuse all the time, and that is when you hear hoofbeats, you should think of horses first and not zebras. And here you are, you're an avid athlete, you're beating the hell out of your knees, and you somehow want to find some magic food to fix it. So I think the most important thing you can do if your weight is okay, because, you know, your body weight has a lot to do with how much trauma your knees take. Best thing you can do is treat this mechanically in an appropriate way and chew in some chicken bones or two bones and call me in the morning.
I appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
I'm trying to do a little less impact.
Yeah, there
Thanks,
you go.
Robert. Stephanie calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Dr. Dean and Enid on AM 1150.
Hi, Dr. Dean. How are you?
I am fine, ma'am.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
Dr. Dean, I had a question for you. My husband has tested his liver enzymes. He was turned down for disability insurance. We applied for it, and he was turned down because his liver enzymes were high, specifically the AST and ALT.
Yep.
They were in the 400 range. He had blood tests. He had an ultrasound done, and they didn't find anything in those tests. But our doctor told him that maybe that's just the way, that's normal for him.
Yeah, you got to fight back. Insurance companies will do this to you. I mean, liver enzymes, it's a test. You know, the machine, when I put your blood in the machine to test, say, something simple like cholesterol level, because the machines are so good today, they go ahead and test 18 or 22 different things anyway, whether you want it or not. And one of the things they test is liver enzymes. So you're constantly coming up with people who are walking around. Maybe he had the flu. That'll raise your liver enzymes. Many different infections will raise your liver enzymes. He does not have to have an illness. But the insurance companies, they can have their way with us. They can decide when they disqualify us. And sometimes that goes on your record, because the next time you have to fill out an application and it says, have you ever been turned down? You have to say yes. And then it asks why. And then you have to say so. And you may screw up his entire future. I would fight this. I would simply have your internist. And by the way, you can wait. If liver enzymes go up acutely, you know, wait a few months, repeat the test. And when they come back normal, you call the insurance company and threaten you're going to call a local consumer reporter for a local radio or television station. You got to fight back, because you don't want that on the record. By the same token, possibly they could have uncovered a chronic hepatitis C infection or something that he didn't know, but his doctor would have done that.
Right, and he was tested for all that, and I made him go back 3 months after that and get retested.
You made him. I love it. It's always
right.
A little lady in the life. The men are terrible. We're horrible. We won't ask for directions. We won't go to the doctor.
Is it possible that that is just the way his liver is functioning?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Some people, it's like some people walk around with inherited high cholesterol levels. As long as his doctor's tested him for the common infectious things, and he doesn't have any diseases, I mean, I could list the tests he should get, but I'm sure he's gotten them, then, you know, he's fine. But I'd love to get it off his insurance record.
Stephanie, thank you for the call. I want to ask you a question, since we're at the new year now, and people are making resolutions to park closer to the health club so they don't have to walk as far. No.
Yeah.
Making resolutions to do healthier, you know, make healthier choices. You, Dr. Dean, what would your advice be, which I'm sure you're going to give us in life, liberty, and the pursuit of healthiness. What is your advice, besides the usual, you know, get enough sleep, eat right, try to get some exercise? What kinds of other things that we maybe hadn't thought about?
First of all, I hate resolutions, because you're admitting your insecurity about your resolve. Two, you know, don't go for the fads. Throw out the diet books. Think to yourself about permanent change that's fun. If you don't enjoy your exercise program, if you don't enjoy the food you're eating, forget about it. You're not going to stick to it. It's preposterous. The newest research tells us, if you like chocolate, for instance, and you wanted to go on a diet, which you don't need to, of course, I'd say, Enid, I want you to eat chocolate. You better eat chocolate every day, or I'm going to get on your case, Enid. But I want you to savor it. I want you to enjoy it. My gosh, when you do that, people eat less. It's the most remarkable.
Wait a minute. When you get permission to do the thing that
yes.
you're supposed
no,
to
no, you
not
order
to...
them.
You
don't
you
give
order?
Them. You order them, they eat less. When you give them a just say no approach, just like with our drug war, when you say just say no to people, they start craving the foods and compulsively overeating. You got to let people... Food is a beautiful, sensuous joy. If you don't let people have that, any kind of a diet is doomed. Well, the diet industry has to come up with new stuff every year. There's only high carb and low carb. Low carb, what else is there? So they got to keep repackaging this and reselling it to us. And the other thing, I think if you had asked me one thing.
My aunt, by the way, lived to be almost 100. And she lived on a diet of 12 glasses of water a day and dark chocolate. And
yeah.
I'm convinced.
Bless her. Ooh, I like that. Uh-huh. The water chocolate diet.
Uh-huh.
Huh? The doctor
water
Enid,
for chocolate diet.
Enid and Dean's chocolate water diet. We got something here.
Right.
it's the most important thing of all that gets neglected, and there's lots of research to support, is enjoy your life. Enjoy it. I can't guarantee you you're going to have a long one. Nobody can. Some of the health strategies, if we ate healthy diets, you might live an extra 3 or 4 months. You might get that 3 or 4 months in a nursing home in your diaper. You don't want to miss that. You're 87 years old. People don't think like that. They deprive themselves all their lives. They become an anxious, neurotic mess, and they don't know that the gain is not huge. So enjoy. People who enjoy their lives live longer.
Did you say that about smoking, though? That's not true about
no.
smoking.
Smoking is absolutely has a major, major impact on your health. But the truth is, I mean, I hate to say this, I'm not pro-smoking, but 90% of smokers don't get lung cancer, you know? So you're taking a big chance, though, big chance.
All right, what about people who have high cholesterol ratings?
High cholesterol, listen, 30% of people that are dead on arrival at the hospital have low cholesterol levels.
By Is
the
that
same,
true?
Yes, absolutely. By the same token, listen, I'd love to know your grandma's cholesterol level, because a lot of people live to be 100. There are 300 separate blood factors and other factors that contribute to your risk of heart attack. Cholesterol is an easy one to measure. It's just one thing. Of course, pay attention to it. I'm not saying ignore, you know, red flags, etc. But don't start believing that there are, you know, evil foods that'll kill you, or only if you take this pill or this supplement, because what contributes to your risk for heart disease, there are so many factors. Your personality, anger, hostility. Now, one of the healthiest things you can do is have a lot of sex. Sex, there have been 3 major studies. The more orgasms a person has, the longer they live. I can't prescribe it, but it's certainly, I mean, sex versus a treadmill.
There was a study in this country where sewing for leisure outranked sex as a fun activity.
Yeah, well, that shows you where Americans are at. You know, we think we're sexy, but, you know, to us, a beer in our hand is, you know.
Oh, so sex, there are actual studies that say the more orgasms you have,
absolutely.
The longer you live?
A famous study about 3 years ago in England, the carefully studied, the more orgasms a man had, the longer he lived. The AMA did a study.
What
about
15, a woman? Maybe only the man lives longer.
You know something with
the
women,
woman dies younger because it was too much trouble.
Well, you asked a very good question. In men, it's a little easier to measure that endpoint. You know, with women, you never know.
Yeah.
You know, so they didn't measure that. There's an AMA study. Women have fewer menopausal symptoms if they having more sex. Of course, we're very repressive about sex, but it is part of a healthy, enjoyable life. So
well,
that's
I just got this in the mail. Mental illness, menstrual cramps, mental breakdown,
yep.
menopause, guy, gynecologist, and when we have real trouble, it's a hysterectomy. Ever notice how all women's problems start with men?
Yep. That's right. And it's true. It's like inhibited sexual desire now is a new disease. The pharmaceutical companies are going wild.
Another thing they can sell you a pill
for. Another thing they can sell. They don't look at the slob that's living with a woman. You know, it's a problem why her desire is a little bit down. You know, no, we're going to sell them a pill.
Take a shower. Maybe if he took a shower and stopped shaving under his arms. All the ball players are shaving under their arms.
Come on.
Yes. Oh. They are shaving under their arms. I don't know if it's for aerodynamics or for it's a fashion statement.
Oh,
men
Lord.
Are wearing more jewelry than women. It's a real problem. Dr. Dean Adell, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. His new book, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Some people prefer the right wing. Some prefer the left wing. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Quick question. Ever had a cold that only lasted 4 hours? Anybody? Then why take a 4-hour cold medicine? Instead, take Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill has the strength to give you 12 hours of relief. No stuffy nose, no throbbing head, all day. So what's it going to be? 12 hours of relief or symptoms that interrupt your day? Do I really need to ask?
Try non-drowsy Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill, 12 hours of relief. Use as directed.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Are drugs affecting you, your family, or a friend? Narcanon provides answers to drug addiction. They offer free assessment and referral services to over 11,000 treatment centers nationwide. For 30 years, Narcanon has successfully used a drug-free approach to long-term recovery that works. They understand the cravings, guilt, and depression associated with addiction. To find out more about Narcanon, log on to www.stopaddiction.com or call 1-800-468-6933. If you want to avoid an expensive repair job on your car's automatic transmission, get to AutoZone and change your transmission fluid every 2 years or 24,000 miles. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
You're listening to the award-winning AM 1150 KNRC. We've been honored by the Colorado Broadcasters Association with 4 awards of excellence and by the Associated Press with 7 awards for excellence in news coverage, including one for Best Radio Newscast in Colorado, plus Westward and Greg Dobbs, Denver's Best Radio Talk Show Host. KNRC is the youngest station in Colorado to achieve these prestigious honors. The award-winning AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:57. We don't have much time left. If you're just tuning in, you missed Dr. Dean Adel. He's great. He is so much fun. And I worked with him in San Francisco. And we have friends in common and all that stuff. But we're going to give away 2 tickets to Her Majesty Queen Noor, a real queen, not some of these drama queens around that we see around. And that is for Tuesday, January 20th, 7 p.m. at Betcher Concert Hall, Denver Center for the Performing Arts. The value of those tickets, $66. Be the second caller, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. If you are wanting to see Queen Noor, she's going to be giving a lecture at the Betcher Concert Hall. This is Tuesday, January 20th at 7 o'clock. We will give you a set of tickets, 2 tickets, the value of which is $66. Be the second caller, and looks like we have a winner. So, we are one of, KNRC is one of the, sponsors of, that lecture series, and I was going to have her on live, but I'm going to be in Venice during that. Otherwise, I'd go and see her because I think she's very interesting. I like very much what she's had to say. Well, tomorrow we have lots of things to talk about. Wednesday, let me just give you a rundown of what we have planned so far. Anne Gerhart, who has written The Perfect Wife, The Life and Choices of Laura Bush. She is a reporter, staff writer for The Washington Post. Okay, so Anne... okay. Be the first. It was the same guy who won the last set? How could that happen? All right, be the first caller right now. Be the first caller, and you will win the tickets, 303-382-1150. Do we have a winner? I think we do. Okay. Friday, Linda Fairstein, former DA from Manhattan, has a brand-new book out called The Kills. So that's what we have set for you. Joe Anderson, thank you so much for producing the show today. Jordan Lyles, thank you for keeping us on the air. All of you who called and listened, we'll do it again tomorrow, noon to 3 on KNRC. You turn me on, I'll turn you on. And try to leave the world a better place than you found it. Do something generous. I'm Enid Goldstein. Doug Kellett up next. I'll be with you again tomorrow, noon to 3, right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Sunny skies, 55 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Metabolife Ultra. A teenage boy has been arrested in connection with a vandalism at a Southeast Denver office building. Detective Teresa Garcia said just before 1 this morning, officers were checking out 9725 East Hampton, the scene of extensive vandalism over the weekend.
They observed a male running from the building, so they detained him. Checking the building out, they found 2 additional broken windows, which was not part of the damage from yesterday's incident.
Turns out the person fleeing the building was a 13-year-old boy. He's being held for investigation of burglary at the Gilliam Youth Center. Detectives will have questions for the boy about Sunday's vandalism as well. Garcia says no other arrests are expected, but that could change. T-Rex work continues tonight as crews work to demolish the eastern portion of the Colorado Boulevard Bridge over I-25. From about 9 tonight until 5:30 tomorrow morning, both directions of I-25 will be closed from Santa Fe to Hampton, and Colorado Boulevard will be down to one lane in each direction. T-Rex spokeswoman Karen Morales says the work on the Colorado Boulevard Bridge isn't going away anytime soon.
As of the traffic shift on Colorado Boulevard that we put into place last Sunday,